Call this meeting to order with a roll call, starting with the secretary.
Patty Heft here.
David Jordan here.
Greg Mattson here.
Ed Delgado Gunto.
Paul Ninhams here. Melinda Danforth.
And just to note, I've received word from Vince De La Rosa. He's tending to a sick relative, so he won't be here. And Tina has the flu, and she won't be here. Okay. Thank you. Well, for the opening, we'll just recognize our Creator, who is the Creator of us all, no matter how we may pray, how we may not pray. We do know we have our Creator, and we have that in common. So I'd like to thank the Creator for all that the Creator has provided for us, our children, our lands, our sovereignty, our health, our happiness, and humbly ask the Creator to continue to watch over us. Yanko?
Yeah.
Approval of the agenda?
Madam Secretary, do you have any?
Mr. Chairman, we have a couple of changes, additions. We're going to add to the oaths of office a fourth one for Al Manders to the Environmental Resource Board. Delete under resolutions the Baccarat and roulette rules of play. We'll have to go into executive session to consider a hiring request from gaming regarding the marketing director position that just came in this morning.
Will that be under additions?
Yes, under additions. You have a handout of the Finance Committee meeting minutes of May 21. I think that's it.
The issue on the hyperbaric?
That's on. We're good.
Okay.
That's it. Okay. Mr. Chairman, I'll move to adopt the agenda with the noted changes.
Second.
A motion by Paul Ninham to adopt the agenda with the noted changes. Seconded by Melinda Danforth. Discussion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. We do have an agenda oath of office.
By name.
Okay, 1 second.
Me too.
Yvonne Cornelius for the Anna John Nursing Home. Could you please come up? Al Manders for the Herb Board. Carol Cornelius for the Library Board. Do you have any more? Tamara Van Schindel for the Arts Board. Tamara Van Schindel.
regulations.
To uphold the laws and regulations.
Uphold the laws and regulations. People.
With honor, respect,
and dignity.
And sincerity. And will maintain
confidential information.
With the strictest confidentiality.
There are duties and responsibilities. Member of the Environmental Resources
Board and agendas.
All recommendations
shall be made
in the best interest
of the Oneida Tribe,
as a whole.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Deleted. Mini back.
Okay, next on the agenda, we're looking to approve the minutes, the business committee minutes of May 15, 2014, regular meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by David Jordan to approve, seconded by Paul Ninham. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Okay, no resolutions, no reports, boards, committees, and commissions, appointments. We have Oneida Police Commission. There were four applicants for two vacancies on the Oneida Police Commission. The applicants are Wesley Martin Jr., Gina Buonarroto, Martin Antone, and Lois Strong. All the candidates were qualified to serve in accordance with Article 6, Section 2-6-2C. Of the comprehensive policy governing boards, committees, and commissions, I recommend Martin Antone and Lois Strong because of their experience and education to be appointed to serve on the Oneida Police Commission. What is the wish of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to appoint Wes Martin and Lois Strong to the Oneida Police Commission.
Second.
I'm not going to recognize that motion. I believe that the...
Then I'll make a motion to defer
second.
To the next meeting.
Okay. I will recognize a motion to defer.
To the work meeting or to...
To the next meeting.
To the next business meeting.
Okay, we have a motion to defer to the next meeting. Melinda Danforth. Do we have a second?
Discussion. I just wanted to talk about the decision to not recognize the first motion. I think it's an appropriate motion.
I know it's been done before, so there is precedence, but in reviewing the boards, committees, and commissions law, and I stand to be corrected, the chairman makes the recommendation,
right.
And then the business committee approves or disapproves.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I made my recommendations.
So then The action would be if we disapproved, you would go back to the drawing board to bring back a new recommendation?
Yes.
I'd like to change my motion then. I'd like to change my motion to appoint Lois Strong to the Oneida Personnel Commission and defer the appointment of Marty Antone back to the chairman's office to make an alternate recommendation.
I'll second that. And it's the Police Commission.
Oh, sorry, Police Commission.
Okay, we have a motion by Melinda Danforth. Do we have a second?
I'll second that, Mr. Chairman.
Second by?
Patty Heft.
Patty Heft. Discussion? Okay, I'd like to make a comment as to one of my recommendations that you seem to be not approving of. It comes from a highly decorated veteran, someone with years and years of experience in law enforcement. And the education to back it up. I cannot see why you would not want to fulfill that recommendation. That's my comment.
Mr. Chairman, you know, my wanting to send this back to your office for a new recommendation has nothing to do to diminish the experience of the candidate of Marty Antone. But Mr. Antone also was a subordinate within the police department for many years, and so it would be very difficult, I think, to have him oversee the very department that he had worked in with some difficulty. So that's why I'm supporting the motion.
Okay.
You know, if it were anything else, he's a great candidate for a lot of things, but I think in this instance, we need to rethink that.
Yeah, I'm kind of along the same lines. I just don't want to have an inherent problem coming into a commission in a situation, and that's what I'm trying to avoid. There was another situation a year or two back where we appointed someone in the Personnel Commission that just filed a complaint the moment they were on the commission. And so that's what I'm trying to avoid, is just people that we're going to work well with others and have no history there.
Mr. Chairman, my thoughts are reflective from the Secretary and the Councilman as well. But about halfway through this term, one thing that I was a proponent of and sent an email out to all of the committee members was going back to our former practice, and that was all of the nine business committee members, and I know it was labor intensive, but taking the time to rank all of the applicants that we had, and those scores would come forward. I don't believe, you know, that you know, there should be a single executive function to appoint, you know, people to boards, committees, and commissions. So, you know, going into the next term, and as we leave this current term, I'm going to make that recommendation again for the next business committee.
Okay, we have a motion by Melinda Danforth to recommend to refer this back to the chairman's office for another recommendation. We have a second by whom?
Patty Heft.
Patty Heft. Are we ready to vote? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. And I would like to provide for the record what I said previously. Thank you. Next on the agenda is the Personnel Commission recommendations. There were seven applicants for the two vacancies. The applicants were Mary Graves, Sharon Alvarez, Pearl Webster, Matthew Denny, Chris Cornelius, Dorothy A. Skenador, and Joyce King. All the candidates are qualified to serve in accordance with Article 6, Section 6-2C of the Comprehensive Policy Governing Boards, Committees, and Commissions. I recommend Dorothy A. Skenador and Pearl Webster to be appointed to the Oneida Personnel Commission. Business Committee, what is your wish?
I'll make a motion to defer these appointments to the next business committee meeting and ask that the business committee have a work meeting on appointment on these appointments.
Support.
We have a motion by Belinda Danforth, second by Paul Ninham. Discussion. Okay, we've seemed to want to be redoing the things that we doing things in a different way. And I invite you to read the policy governing boards, committees, and commissions, including myself. Maybe I'm wrong. So we'll discuss that document at that work meeting. Okay, we have a motion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Okay, quarterly reports, Oneida Land Claims Commission.
I have to apologize. I was unable to find the written report, and I didn't see one in the packet, so I don't know if it got submitted or not.
We didn't receive one. I'm wondering if we should just defer the land claims report to the next meeting and then take up the land commission. Would that be okay?
So moved.
Second.
We have in front of us the land commission, but land claims we could defer to the next meeting.
We have a motion. Is that a motion, Patty?
David made it, and I'll second it.
Motion to defer the land claim.
Second over here, Mr. Chairman.
Next meeting, seconded by Paul Ninham. Discussion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. Abstain? Motion carries.
Land commission.
Okay, now the land commission report.
Do you do have that one in your packet?
Yes.
Basically... there has been very little land purchased in this last quarter either. We got 1.84 acres that was donated from the Department of Transportation for the land under the bridge, and then purchase of the 0.84 acres in Milwaukee, which was a Seatts building. We are currently at 39% of the land owned within the reservation boundaries. We are working with the audit people, staff, and the land management staff is working on different SOPs to try to correct any deficiencies that are within the audit. And I think we're going to get a final audit, should be coming in another week or so. Let's see. We did meet last evening, and we identified some properties that we would like to present to the business committee on June 11th meeting, I believe, that we would like to anticipate, look at purchasing and identifying our reasons why we want those properties. But if you have any questions?
Patty.
Amelia, good report. Thank you. Could you just give us an update on any naming opportunities coming up for different parts of the reservation or the roads or streets?
Let's see. I believe we still have the Gutlandsberger and the Krosky property still up on Seminary Road. Can't think of any other sites right offhand.
Okay. That's a way tribal members can participate, right? They can offer recommendations to the Land Commission on names?
Yes.
Okay.
It's always advertised in the Golly Weezox.
I believe we just named Maria Hinton Way.
That's the
down by Green Valley.
The inner road
at
Green Valley.
Wonderful.
Right.
Yep.
Thank you.
Make a motion to accept the report.
Second. A motion by David Jordan to accept the report, supported by Paul Ninham. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amelia. Next, we have the Oneida Airport Hotel Corporation Board. Morning, Janice. Mr. Doc Steeter.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good morning, Council.
Well, you want to hit on some of the highlights, maybe introduce our new member?
Yes, I would like to very much. Thank you. Good morning to the business committee and to members in the audience. This morning, I'm reporting on the Radisson and Three Clans, which owns the Wingate as well. Some highlights of the Radisson for this last quarter, very, very productive. I think that some of the highlights that we look at were we consider a monitoring of the STAR report, which is sharing where we are with our competitors, and we are definitely number one with all of our competition here in the city, which really helps us. We have engaged, as you know, not only with the Radisson, but also a management company called Ambridge. And this last quarter, they have come together, working together with not only the Radisson, but also Wingate as well. And in doing so, we have definitely increased our occupancy and taking a look at it and finally getting in a great financial position. With that said, also, the Radisson has won once again the President's Award for its value that it has perceived in the last quarter for 2013. We also had the annual Ambridge Conference, and Radisson also has won that President's Award based on performance, which is two highlights and I think two things worth mentioning. The other thing is at the Wingate, with Ambridge being with us for over a year now, Wingate has also won an Ambridge Award, and that was for the TripAdvisor, which is one of our third-party reservation systems that we work with, and they are number one in the system, which is 157 hotels. Wingate here in Green Bay is number one, which is a really very commendable that you can see. Financially, like I said, they're doing well. They are producing enough to definitely take care of their own mortgage for the first time in since we purchased it. They can also are contributing to the FF&E, which is fixtures, equipment, and fixtures, furniture, and equipment that you can see. We definitely are checking out our competition and keeping ourselves abreast of what is happening downtown, as we know that the Northland Hotel is due to start construction, which it will add 147 rooms in the community. The Clarion downtown is also going to be, we're waiting for a new franchise, or they are waiting for a new franchise, and that will continue to be new competition. And, of course, the KI Center adding 32,000 square feet on for convention center will continue to be competition for us. We have no legal action at this time, which is great. And, again, the sales team continues to work with both the Radisson and Wingate from Ambridge to sell our properties in the manner that they should be sold. So I think we can really compliment the staff. This morning they're all on the job. Actually, they're out on sales calls this morning. Otherwise, they would be with us. But they, you know, we're doing well in the properties financially, operationally, and the dependency is just less and less on the tribal financials as they continue to do well. So we're having a good year.
Mr. Chairman?
That was very good.
Move to accept the Oneida Airport Hotel Corporation Board.
Support.
Report.
Motion by Paul Ninham, supported by David Jordan. Discussion. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, Patty Heff. Motion carries.
Thank you.
One note there on that, you know, in your report, you see that even though the room sales are down, your profits are up. That's huge.
Yes.
I really acknowledge that. So it shows that you're really doing an excellent job over there. So.
Yeah. Thank you very much, and I will share that with the staff, as they do deserve that recognition as well. Next, I'd like to go to the Gulf Enterprise Corporation, and this morning I have brought Josh Dockstader, who is our new general manager out at Thornberry Creek at Oneida. I'm very pleased he's been with us a short 8-9 days, and we have him working. He's worked the weekend. He's engaged, and it's good to see that fresh, knowledgeable, experienced person come on board to help us get to the next level.
Could you ask, maybe if I'm going to put you on the spot, Josh,
Yeah. And
I'm going to ask you to go to the mic and address our tribal membership in the crowd and introduce yourself, let them know where you're from, your background, just so that our membership gets familiar with your face now.
Way to go, Councilwoman.
Good morning. My name is Joshua Dockstader. Good morning. My name is Joshua Dockstader. I come to you all the way from Phoenix, Arizona. and, you know, the first thing that the question that's asked when they said, why did you move? good news is I moved at a time where you're starting to get into beautiful weather and looking forward to that winter season. But when we get there, we'll get there. I first want to say thank you for allowing me to help Thornberry Creek be that it can be. I want it to be something that the tribal membership is proud of, that they call their own, and just the sense of ownership all together. So I'm here for you. I serve you, and I appreciate, again, the opportunity to do so. So if there's anything that you need from me, always open suggestions, comments, anything that can help make us better, I welcome that. So thank you for welcoming me. My first 9 days have been pretty enlightening, and the next how many ever years it takes will be enlightening for us all. So thank you.
Just one more question, Joshua. Where are you from? Which res are you from, Dockstader?
Oneida, Canada. So yeah. Oneida of the Thames.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks, Josh.
Highlights on
the other couple other highlights over at the golf course. That too is doing very well, not only operationally and really developing its credibility and its value, but also financially. We've also been able to turn that around and being able to support ourselves. We did some refinancing of the loans, which will help us with the cash flow, so we are not dependent upon the tribe for all operational needs. If you haven't been over there in the last maybe 3 weeks, you'll see a new parking lot. You'll see new lights. You'll see a new road around the back of the building. We're in compliance with some of the things we're out of.
Excuse me. Janice, can you move that a little bit closer to you, please?
Yeah. I was talking about the parking lot. Is that?
Yeah.
I was talking about the parking lot that we have just finished. We still have some work to do. When I say finished, we're 95% there. We have about 5% more to go, and that is we have to wait for some of the ground to settle because what was bid was anticipated that it was clay underneath. Actually, it's sand, so we have to do some extra work, let it settle, and then we'll finish the parking lot. But the new lights out there, you know, it decreases the liability that is out there for insurance, where before, you know, we had people come out at 12:30, including the employees, and they couldn't see. So it's been really nice. Josh already has some great ideas. Hopefully we can develop that basement, as everyone those that know about the basement, it's big. It's just as big as the top floor. And now with that wraparound in the back, hopefully we can do some development down there, and you'll see more activity out there. So it's really been nice. There were some great things created this winter out there for the food and beverage, as we can't golf, obviously, in the winter. But we did have some, March Madness was a great success for us as we went. We asked, did an open house and asked some of our top clients, new business clients, those existing clients that we have, and we had an open house so they could see the full facility. A lot of people don't. If they just golf, they come out and see just golf and not the banquet space in back. There's 7,000 square feet. Last year we held more weddings than we had weekends because we also held them on Friday night. So we also host their dinners at the night before. So on weekends we're busy during the week. I'm proud to say that going forward we're going to be busy every day with some type of outing. So it's really turning into really the place to be. Josh already has expressed he also wants to make it the destination for the Oneida tribe. So he's going to work on that. I'm going to help him work on that, and hopefully we can succeed that. So thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to accept the report.
Second.
A motion by David Jordan to accept the report, supported by Paul Ninham. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Paul.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to state that aesthetically, going out there and watching, it's really nice out there where to get it to the point where it is you know, right now, and a number of us, you know, go out there periodically, and to see what it was, and to see, you know, that look at the parking lot where it is right now, and then bringing that wraparound, you know, up to code and everything, and we're investing, and you know, it's going to be a real nice course, and then we got the addition of Josh, you know, our relative from Southwold, you know, and so we're very happy to have you here.
Vice Chair, and with that said, thank you, Paul. I also wanted to thank the Development Department,
yes,
Mike Showers, and the CIP program itself. It works. It really shows out at the golf course. So if you have been out there, please come out there. But again, I wanted to thank those that have helped us get where we are today.
Mr. Chair, and for the record, I would like to commend this council on making these changes at the Radisson with the board and with the golf course to hire a general manager to turn things around. I want to commend this whole council. We made these changes to make it better.
I agree.
For the record.
Thank you. Hey, any more questions? Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
Next on the agenda is Oneida Total Integrated Enterprises. OTI for short, Butch Redmeister.
Morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, some of the highlights that OTI did was this past quarter was that one of the key things for OTI is that it has a high safety record. We can't have any safety violations, and OTI has won several awards for safety and it's in your packet, but the Public Works Department of Ventura County selected OTI as the recipient of the safety through awards safety award for Naval Operations Support Center, and the Wisconsin Department of Transportation and Wisconsin Transportation Builders Association selected OTI to receive the 2012 Outstanding Highway Construction Award for Excellence in Concrete Paving for our management of the Mason Street interchange in Green Bay. We had a slow first quarter because 79% of our projects are federal, but we've been making up for that in the second quarter, and we're pretty close to what we made last year in the first two quarters. So we intend to match, to, you know, make our budget. Last year was our best year ever, and we feel we can at least match it, even though we had that bad first quarter because the government was shut down for the first quarter. We did spread out into this munitions response service, and we added that as a business expansion, and we had projected to get $2 million worth of contracts, and we ended up getting four. So it was performing better than we thought. So that's in Massachusetts. We have an office in Massachusetts. and this OTI is entering in its last 3 years of its 8A, and we've been competing on open market now, and we've been winning bids. So that's the whole purpose of 8A, is to prepare you so you can compete in open market, and we're doing that. So we feel like OTI is positioned to be successful even after the 8A is done. I don't know if you have any other questions.
No, I think we covered it pretty good yesterday. So yeah. I make a motion to accept the report.
Second.
We have a motion by Greg Mattson to accept the report, seconded by Paul Ninham. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thanks, Butch.
Bay Bank Corporation? Do we have anyone here from Bay Bank? What is the wish of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, we had a really good report from a board member yesterday and from the interim president of Bay Bank. And I'll move to accept the report.
Support.
We have a motion by Paul Ninham to accept the report. I'm going to ask the parliamentarian, can we accept it? We accept the report that wasn't provided.
Yesterday. We provided it yesterday.
I know, but this is the open session part.
It's in here.
Oh, there's an open.
It's in the
okay.
packet.
Okay. Okay, we have a motion to accept the written report by Paul Ninham, seconded by David Jordan. Discussion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Next on the agenda, Oneida Seven Generations Corporation.
Same thing. Same thing. Mr. Chairman, once again, we had an in-depth report yesterday, and so what I'm going to do is move to accept that report as well, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, we have a motion by Paul Ninham to accept the Seven Gens report. Do we have a second?
Support.
Supported by Greg Mattson. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain?
Abstain.
Abstain.
An abstention, two abstentions, David Jordan and Melinda Danforth. Motion carries. Before we leave this board's committees and commissions portion of the agenda, I'm just going to, we were talking about the board's committees and commissions policy earlier. And I'm going to read Section 6-2-C, which says that the council regarding appointments can reject an applicant by majority vote of a quorum at a regular special meeting. So you have the business committee has the right to accept or reject the recommendations. Yes, we can go into work meetings. Yes, we can score. But ultimately, the recommendation comes from the chairman. And the scoring could be part of my consideration, but it doesn't have to be. And a work meeting, we can talk about it. That's nothing wrong with that. But there is no appointments made that are not recommended by the chairman. Thank you. Next on the agenda, standing committees, legislative operating committee.
Motion to accept the meeting minutes of May 7.
We have a motion by Patty Heff, seconded by Paul Ninham. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Okay, for the record, we have unanimous vote, Patty, Greg, Brandon, Paul, and Melinda. Okay. Next on the agenda, resolution, clean air amendments. Michelle?
I'll make a motion first to adopt the resolution regarding the amendments to the clean air policy.
Okay, we have a motion to adopt the resolution. For the amendments for the clean air policy made by Patty Heft. Do we have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Paul Ninham. Discussion. Michelle.
The clean air policy, the amendments to the clean air policy are just to deal with the addition of the issue of e-cigarettes, which the business committee previously amended the tobacco ordinance, which also dealt with the issue of e-cigarettes. And basically what those two policies are doing are treating e-cigarettes just the same as they treat cigarettes. So in this case for the clean air policy, if you can't smoke
in a certain part, like at Thornberry Creek, or at a restaurant. If you can't smoke a cigarette, then you're unable to use an e-cigarette in the same form. We did have a separate meeting with Janice Hirth in regards to the potential effects and concerns for Thornberry Creek, for the Radisson. She expressed and had talked to the board, and the board expressed no concern that there would be a loss. She expressed that when there were changes to the use of cigarettes and that cigarettes were banned from use inside, that they really didn't notice a great loss at that point, and so they really had no concern in treating e-cigarettes the same as cigarettes. And so we've now moved this forward after having that confirmation.
Business committee discussion? Questions? Are we ready to vote? Okay, we'll vote on the amendments. All those in favor of the amendments, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Thank you. Removal law amendments? Michelle?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion first to adopt the resolution to make amendments to the removal law.
Support.
Okay, we have a motion by Patty Heff to adopt the resolution, supported by
Paul
Ninham. Discussion? Michelle?
The changes to the removal law, normally this is something that needs to be and is only allowed to be amended by the General Tribal Council. However, at a General Tribal Council meeting, the General Tribal Council approved a resolution which allowed the business committee to go ahead and make this one specific change to the removal law, and that is simply to change the reference to the new judiciary from the Appeals Commission. Right now, the removal law makes reference to the Oneida Tribal Judicial System or the Oneida Appeals Commission, and the new judiciary is going into effect in November. And so this allows, it's only making the change that the GTC allowed the business committee to change, and that's that reference change from the Appeals Commission to the new judiciary.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions? Discussion? Ready to vote? All those in favor of approving the amendments, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Approve Legislative Operating Committee bylaws.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to have some discussion with the committee about the rule that would allow, that would prohibit the chairperson of the LOC committee from voting. And so I think the LOC is recommending that the chairperson in the new change not have a vote. Currently, the chairperson does have a vote. Mm-hmm. And I like the way it is now where the chairperson gets to vote, but I'd like to hear from the LOC members why they would like to change that.
Brandon.
I thought does the current chairperson of the LOC vote now on
yes.
matters? Yeah.
Has the ability.
I do have the ability as the LOC chair to vote in matters that come before the Legislative Operating Committee. And one of the reasons why I would be supportive of allowing the chairman to vote is because I'm appointed to the LOC by nature of my position on the council. And it's my job as a legislator to be a part of the lawmaking body of the tribe. And because I chair those meetings, I also have a responsibility to work on projects of my own. And because of the nature of the position, and you're not able to vote, you're not able to influence your own pieces of legislation that you're drafting, whereas my other colleagues would be able to do so. So in the instance of, and it's been great because I've had a good LOC. We haven't, we've been able to work together. We've been able to draft a lot of legislation. And if we disagree, we try to come to some sort of consensus or negotiate the middle ground. But in the instance when I'm thinking about somebody who may not be as lucky as I am, that they would be able to have that ability to have their vote in order to be able to push their own pieces of legislation or other pieces of legislation when it comes down to the 5-member body. So from my perspective, although I voted on very rare occasion, and normally it was only in instances where we had three out of the 5 people sitting at the table to make a decision, in cases of ties or in cases of Maybe one didn't agree with the other, and then I had to go ahead and vote anyway. So, I, you know, it's a discussion and debate, and I know that the other side of the coin and the other LLC members can express it is that Robert's Rules doesn't allow for the chairperson to vote, and they would like to be consistent with that. But so that was kind of the argument, or I shouldn't say argument, the debate that we had at the LLC level. And it wasn't heavy. It wasn't heavily debated. It was just a question that we thought that should come to the business committee to decide.
Well, yeah, Mr. Chairman, I agree with the councilwoman as well. I think when we changed our practices, I think it was about 9 years ago, several terms ago, the LLC chair at that time had really pushed, you know, for the chairperson of the Legislative Operating Committee to vote. And actually, I'm kind of surprised it didn't change, you know, the during the last term. And I'm kind of surprised that we went through this 3 years with this. But I'm in favor, you know, with the amendments, and I'd like to see those move forward.
Ben? Yeah, I guess in concurrent with the chairwoman of the LOC was that we just wanted to posture this conversation with the business committee because the business committee doesn't operate that way, and wanted to give the general public the understanding that the LOC is more of a work subcommittee. So we're actually work a lot gets done. We do a lot of wordsmithing, and so when we're just blanketly, it looks like we're blanketly approving these resolutions. These are actually you know, hours and hours of work and meetings that we went through these things that sometimes are very tireless sometimes, but yeah, I think that's why we wanted have it to come up to the committee, because the committee doesn't handle the business that way. To follow more of the Roberts rules, and where the LOC was the working committee, that, you know, we want to push our legislation and also making sure that that there's consensus more so amongst the committee, the LOC, when it comes to the business committee.
So what I'm confused on the documents, it has preside at all duties of the chairperson, preside at all meetings of the LLC, but then it has stricken out the LLC chair shall have voting privileges in all matters which come before the LLC.
It was probably just the
is that
who was at the meeting?
Oh, because
at the time, so
I would like to adopt the new bylaws. I like the changes, but I want to make sure that the chairperson has voting privileges on all matters before the LOC.
And that's fine. You can make a motion to adopt the Legislative Operating Committee bylaws and make that determination about the LOC chairperson having the right to vote.
Yes.
And they'll make that change.
Okay, that's my motion then.
Okay, we have a motion by Patty Heft. The
chairperson
can. Do we have a second?
Can. Okay.
Can. Accept the bylaws with Rick. With the
chairperson having the chairperson privileges to vote on all matters before the LOC.
Yeah. Looking for a second? Second, yeah.
Second by Brandon Stevens. Discussion. I just want to say I think that the motion is good, because the LOC chair comes here and votes for it.
Mm-hmm.
And you might get a swayed number if they're not able to vote at the LOC level.
Mm-hmm.
You might think you have a go on it, and then you come up here and you don't have a goal.
Right. I mean, Mr. Chairman, I would like this conversation to be remembered when we take up Constitution, our work on revising our Constitution, so that the business committee itself, the chair of the business committee, also is given voting privileges, because I think people elect each of us to make a decision, yes or no, and that should include the chair. So, but that's for years ahead of us from today.
Yeah, but I was thinking about not so many years ahead of us.
Okay.
Because
I'll keep my fingers crossed.
The Constitution talks about general tribal council meetings. The chair only votes in the case
of
a tie.
Mm-hmm.
It mentions very little about the business committee.
I believe if you look at the Constitution, the mm-hmm. bylaws, and the job descriptions adopted for the officers and council members of the business committee, it will clarify why the chair is not it votes only in the case of a tie.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you look at all three documents across the board, I believe that you'll have to amend the bylaws in order to allow the chair to vote at a business committee meeting,
mm-hmm.
Other than in a tie.
Yep. something for the future.
It wouldn't be a constitutional violation. It would just be job
bylaws?
Descriptions and some other things.
I don't have an answer to that question. We've always looked at both documents as being a single piece of part of the Constitution, reference them together. So I don't have an answer for you today.
Might be yours.
Yeah, right. I don't want to distract from the tension.
Okay, are we ready to vote? All those in favor of the motion, did we get it? Yeah.
Yep.
All those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Opposed.
Abstain? Motion carries. Thank you. Next on the agenda, Finance Committee meeting minutes of May 21st, 2014. I believe they were handed out.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve the Finance Committee meeting minutes of May 21st, 2014. David Jordan.
Support.
Supported by Melinda Danforth.
Mr. Chairman? Yeah. Oh.
Discussion.
Mr. Chairman, for discussion, I wanted to talk about item number 3 regarding the cannery and the boiler. Let's see. In the discussion, it says, or the motion was to approve from the identified CDPC fund $65,000 for the boiler purchase and associated electrical installation costs. So I wanted to, my understanding is that money doesn't, there isn't that much money in the CDPC line to fund that. So I just wanted to get some background on why that was identified.
Larry?
No, we had checked and verified there is that available balance that is unobligated. In the 14 budget, that particular capital improvement unfortunately was not identified to be funded, but the necessity of getting the boiler completed as we're on to planting season is self-evident. There was not a readily available alternative source to fund the improvement. And, of course, both you and Hinkle and the cannery have been insistent to make that improvement so as to keep up with production as a consequence of the Oneida market inside the Larson Road convenience store.
I think, Mr. Chairman, this one needs to be taken off of this list and sent to CDPC for our meeting next week, because the Finance Committee just can't spend another committee's money without first getting approval from that committee. So I think this needs to start at CDPC and then go back to Finance. Since Finance already said they would support that, CDPC also needs to support it.
Correct, and that was the meaningfulness of the action. It does need to go back, even though it's not explicit. CDPC has to endorse the Finance Committee's decision.
Which would not have been brought up if I didn't bring that up today. So if the committee would change your motion to adopt everything except for that item and send that item back to the CDPC, I would appreciate that.
So moved.
Okay. That will be done, Patty.
Well, there's a motion on the floor to adopt the minutes as presented today, but if it could be amended, if I could make an amendment to that motion.
I was just going to add
or just withdraw
motion.
It.
Okay, good.
Melinda's the seconder.
Oh, okay, good.
David is amending his motion to accommodate number 3. Melinda, do you agree?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I think we're on board. Are we ready to vote? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Okay, next on the agenda, under unfinished business, discuss alternate forms of medical treatment concepts to address tribal member health care needs.
Mr. Chairman, the health center asked if we could defer this to the next BC meeting. They haven't had time to respond to this. So I would give them more time and just ask if we make a motion to defer it to the last meeting in June. That'll give them 4 weeks to respond.
I'll move that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Can you make that like the second meeting in July? Because I know that we're going to be going through the Indian Health Service negotiations over the next month. So
yes.
I'll change my motion, Mr. Chairman, to the second meeting in July.
Okay, motion by Paul Ninham to defer to the second meeting in July.
I'll second that, Mr. Chair.
Seconded by Patty Heft. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. New business requests. Oneida Nation Veterans Affairs Committee approved procedural exception for four additional board meetings annually.
Mr. Chairman, I defer this back to the budgeting process.
Okay, we have a motion by David Jordan to defer this to the budgeting process.
I'll second that, and it's the FY15 budget process.
Correct.
We have a motion by David Jordan, seconded by Patty Heft. Discussion.
If they want a discussion, they can come up here.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm wondering what that's going to.
Come on up, Mike.
Would this require a budget change, you guys?
It would be for 2015.
Right.
Starting in October.
Yes. Okay, yes.
You know, we had several meetings for the co-talkers that we didn't, you know, we did it voluntarily. So we're asking for four extra days, you know, for emergency meetings, and that have to be done. you know, the other thing that really you all should know about that co-talkers day, it's got to be one of the proudest days of Oneida. You can't imagine the compliments and how proud a lot of people are for our people. You know, it's got to be one of the best days. And the other thing is that Korean War veterans are going to the wall like World War II veterans. Now, it's not up to ONVAC or VFW. It's up to the families to bring forth their fathers, brothers, whatever, to see, to encourage them to go to the wall, okay? I just want everybody to realize that, you know, that, you know, a lot of people don't even know that they were in Korea, you know, so that's all you got.
Okay, well, I understand what you're saying now, but when I was going around this morning to find out what this was about, nobody had any idea what it was about, so I thought it was for the future. Four meetings for the future down the road. So if this wants to be an exception to the procedure, I can take my motion back.
Okay, motion. Okay. Does the seconder agree?
Sure. I can withdraw my motion. I was trying to find this out this morning. I asked Patty, I asked Larry, and nobody seemed to know what this was about. And that's what we just wanted to get some kind of background.
Okay. David has withdrawn his motion. Joanne?
Thank you. I agree. I'm reading the memo. It's a little unclear. There's nothing in ONVAC bylaws that would prohibit them holding any number of meetings per year that they so desire. The comprehensive policy governing boards, committees, and commissions and actions of the business committee have limited the amount of stipends they can receive per meeting. So if the request is to hold more meetings, you can hold as many meetings as you want. If the request is to hold more meetings in which they receive stipends, they would need to come to the business committee for an exception.
That's what we're doing.
So it's hold more meetings with and receive stipends for those meetings.
I read that just a few minutes ago. Mike showed it to me. And I also interpreted it to mean four additional meetings annually. And they would use those as they needed. Mike, is that?
Okay. All right. We worded it wrong then, right? For four additional meetings to be added on for stipends.
But are we talking about specifically the what we did with the co-talkers, and you want procedural exception to be stipended for those, or are you talking about in the future, starting whenever, that when it's needed, you'd be allowed to hold four additional meetings annually?
Yes, for in the future, for when the we future. Have to, when we need to have meetings. The new members that came aboard could not believe that we're doing this voluntarily, you know, and sometimes it's too late, we already had our meeting and something comes up, so we have to get together again. So that's what we're requesting.
And also the other part of it, too, is that as we are in office, be it VFW, American Legion, all the different areas that we have, they're growing and growing and growing. And so we have to spend more time with that to help them out and guide them, like the code talkers, anything that's involved with all our veterans on the United Nations, which we consider number one in the country.
Okay. Does the idea of including this into your budget starting October 1st work for you guys?
Yeah. Yeah.
Patty.
Mr. Chairman, I think today I would just accept this as information and that ONVAC begin working with the business committee in preparation of your budget for FY15, and then we talk about it there so that the proposal then that you develop for your spending plan for the next year would include this item.
Go ahead.
Budgeting for the stipends is half of the process. They would still need to come to the business committee for approval to the exception to the rule of limited number of meetings. That limited number of meetings that receive a stipend. Hold any number of meetings you want. You can only have so many meetings in which you receive a stipend. If you want an exception to that rule, it's not a budgeting process. It's a simple action by the business committee to authorize that so long as it's budgeted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just
but
to keep that in mind. Yes.
Right, and I think we can take that up when we start having work meetings with them on the budget, that if they want to do that, there'll be a list of things we have to decide on in order to make that happen.
Brandon.
And I don't doubt the need for additional meetings and the compensation that comes with the high times, but I think this is something we need to address across the board as far as all boards, committees, and commissions, because like Powwow Committee coming into a very tough time, they have about 4 to 10 meetings a month leading up to that. And so I think that's something we need to think about across the board, and I know that there are those times when boards are more busy than the others. And so this is a broader issue that we need to talk about with the committee and how we address all the boards, committees, and commissions.
Okay, we have a motion. Did we have a second?
That's why we only asked for four.
So we don't have a motion.
I would just, I'll make a motion to accept as information.
Okay, we have a motion by Patty Heft to accept as
information,
seconded by David Jordan. Just to note that since 2001, we've been in just about a constant state of war. 13 years of just about continuous war in the Middle East. And the number of our veterans will grow coming back from those wars. They have grown. And they'll grow older, and their needs will grow. So our veterans and their needs, we need to be cognizant of their needs and their recognition. So thank you. All those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain?
Abstain.
Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, just as an FYI.
Yes.
Just as an FYI, I'm sending an email out to our work team just to make sure that we take this, we don't forget, and we take this up in your budget work meetings.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Enforcement of Indian preference law. We have, I'm the sponsor of this. We have a presenter.
Morning, Isaiah. Mr. Fish.
How you doing?
Hey, could you introduce yourselves, please?
Dustin. My name's Dustin Fish. Isaiah Cornelius.
Marge Stevens.
Jeanette Ninham.
Alan King.
Okay. Go ahead.
I wrote this up, I'm going to say, maybe a couple months ago, and I seen the lack of training, and so we're trying to address the training issue as being a vital element that will ensure the skills bank to survive. Ultimately, we're trying to keep that skills bank active and constantly bringing in new and young apprentices and getting them to work on our tribal lands here. My name's Isaiah Cornelius. I'm a journeyman electrician working on the Oneida Casino Project. We're here to address an issue that could revenue money and, most importantly, aid in the mind and heart sets of our young people into becoming working and responsible adults. BC Resolution 03-2713-B was the last amendment to the Oneida Indian Preference Law from its inception in 1996 by a tribal lawyer then, Charlene Smith. Once again, we would like to bring to light the purpose and intent of that law. Since my first hire through Indian Preference in August 2012 at the ORCC, and then again from August 2013 to present day, April 25th, 2014, at the Oneida Casino, every contractor hired by the Oneida Tribe to do work on tribal land has failed to fulfill their contractual agreement.
Hi, my name is Dustin Fish. I've worked with Indian Preference for over 5 years. I'm here to fight to keep Indian Preference going. I'd like to take time and explain what Indian Preference means to me. It means supporting my family and taking pride in doing Oneida tribal work in our community. I'm here to tell you that the vendors haven't fulfilled their duties in training us and hiring us on after the jobs. As stated in our tribal laws, according to Article 57.1-2, it is the policy of the tribe to undertake reasonable efforts to ensure that all entities that enter into contracts with or on behalf of the tribe utilize the labor force of Indian workers in business by applying Indian Preference in all aspects of fulfilling that contract, including but not limiting to hiring, training, business opportunities, labor or professional services, and the supply of materials, that state name. I've worked hard to get full-time employment, but as you can see, they didn't offer me a job. So I'm going to school to get my own degree. Let me remind you that it's stated in our laws that they got to train me to better our skills banquet for Indian Preference. But I'm still just a laborer because these companies haven't shown me any different skills to widen our skills banquet. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, according to Article 57.5-2B, Skills Bank, establish and maintain a Skills Bank and actively recruit qualified trades for workers for listing in the Skills Bank. B1, identify, initiate, sponsor training, internship, apprenticeships, opportunities necessary in order to increase the pool of qualified trade workers and to assist Indians in becoming qualified in the various job classifications used by employers. May sound a little wordy, but ultimately what we're trying to do is fulfill that 100% quota of Oneida Indians working on tribal lands. It's in the area of training that we'd like to file this complaint. It's the second item listed and the most overlooked. To this date, we know of not one apprentice hired full-time. I could take that back, maybe one now. Nor have we seen any training done to enhance the advancement of tribal employees. We realize this function should be done prior to awarding contracts to contractors, so that'd be nice if we had a seat at the table during the bidding process. So in order to guarantee training, this item needs to be addressed. This is clearly part of the law set forth by our governing body that makes the skill bank grow and put our people back to work on tribal lands. There's a lot of other issues in there besides just this. After all, we seek to fulfill the work position to 100% of tribal employees. That's the first issue that we had submitted, and I brought this to Ed, and he went ahead and sponsored that bill. That was the first one, but there was also a second one. I don't know if you have any questions.
Is the crux of this is that when we bring on companies to do business with the Oneida tribe. They get the bids, and once they start working, they're not fulfilling their obligations to hire Oneidas.
Well, I think it goes a little deeper than that, because I think it's missed on the very job bidding process. Like when the engineers go and they go through the contracts, I think that this item needs to be part of that contract agreement. Whether or not we get this in there, I'm seeing a few flaws with this. And I know and I understand that there's been certain sub-meetings that might promote the movement of the designee also in the training process, possibly done by the masters in the DPW department. So I'm aware of that. Any way we go, whether or not it's getting the contractors to hire apprentices, or whether or not it's having DPW train our young people, it's a step in the right direction. I'd be happy with either way. It's just that if you took the seven contractors that are out there at the Oneida Casino, and each one of those hired one apprentice, that skill bank would grow by seven people. The next project, it would grow again. So we're just looking to maybe turn a few kids and steer them in the right direction, and then also to hold them to their agreements.
Madeline, and then Brandon, and then Greg. Melinda.
I'd like to say that you might feel that you as a business committee aren't involved in this sort of thing, but you are. I'd like to say that quite a few years ago, when the log cabins were being moved to South Fork Avenue over by the Cultural Heritage Center, I happened to come across one of the log cabins as it was being taken down, and I stopped to view it, and I asked them, "Do you have any Oneida? Are you any of you Oneida?" And they said no, and so they didn't have any Oneidas assisting. So I came to the business committee that was in charge at that time and reported to them that, you know, this was an activity that was going on, and that they apparently felt there were no Oneidas who were capable of learning how to disassemble and reassemble a log cabin. And all the work on the log cabins came to a halt until they hired somebody to an Oneida to train to work with them. So you people up there, you have the power to enforce this Indian preference law, which you should be doing.
Thank you. Brandon?
I guess as far as process, so that the complaint has been filed with Indian Preference. And I guess that's the process. The complaint is filed with the Indian Preference. There's an investigation that happens, and an investigation would deem a result if there's merit in the complaint. And in following the law, then the Oneida Business Committee shall approve a schedule of fines that we would have for the vendor. And so that's our role, as Madeline is saying, that, you know, we do have a role here, and that's what I'm kind of asking, what needs to happen here, because I've heard a lot of the complaints about that. You know, I have a lot of friends in construction that they don't get hired, and they tell them to sit in the car.
Well, they're not trained either on the job.
Yeah.
They're really hired because they're forced to hire Oneidas. But if they were to hire competent people that knew a trade, it just takes that stigma of just hiring people just because they're Oneida, you know. So that's where the training really needs to come in. Now, whether or not it's done through DPW like it's being suggested, or whether or not it comes from the contractors, it don't matter to me. I'm just looking to see if we can get that skills bank built up a little bit.
Melinda and Greg.
Well, I know that this issue had had arisen, I was asked to come to an Indian Preference meeting where some of the workers were present and got to hear this story about how contractors are bringing on individuals and they're not training them like they're supposed to. And then, so we've been in discussions with the Chief Financial Officer, along with Indian Preference Office, Department of Public Works, the Development Division Director, to look at the proper fit for the Indian Preference Department so that there's no conflicts of interest, as well as where is the appropriate place in order for some of these issues like this to be able to be rectified in a short order. So there was two solutions that were brought forward. One of them was that we have a workforce development grant that we just received, and I asked Marge to go ahead and talk with Vic Chiretta about, you know, can we get our workers the ability to go and get either school trained or bring training to the workers through that grant. And I'm not sure how that has panned out to date, because we just had that meeting about a week and a half ago. Second of all was, again, Department of Public Works was talking about the money that we're paying the contractors to train our individuals. Can't we just pull that money back? Oneida did have a training program that was underneath, I believe, the Department of Public Works at the time, that trained about 12 or 15 of our Oneida guys in the trades area. So developing our own program in order for our skills bank workers, as well as any other interested Oneida, to go through that process. And not only just go through the schooling part of it, but also being able to have that hands-on experience to be trained in those trades. So those things are being worked on. They're not coming along as fast as we would like them to, and you can hear from, you know, the men that are present here that it's impacting them greatly on the ground, because they want to succeed. They want to have those tools to be successful. So we are progressing through those talks right now, like I said, with the Chief Financial Officer. And the law itself, you know, the Indian Preference Office is responsible for enforcement. So that's where the enforcement lies. The business committee does approve the schedule of fines, yes, that allows for Indian Preference to fine those companies. So I just want to make some clarifications.
Well, there's a long, long history of this. It's been an issue for a long time. Mm-hmm. I heard a lot of different things mentioned. The 12 individuals that went through training over at DPW, I was one of them. It was heavy equipment operating, as well as boiler pressure vessels. National recognition, but the certificates, the opportunity for training didn't expand off the reservation, and then the continuation of using outside contractors continued to happen, even though there was 12 of us certified in heavy equipment operating, as well as boiler operation. The cabins that Madeline had mentioned, I was able to train six or eight individuals on that site for the rehab of those buildings. They will work. Those programs will work, but they need to be enforced. I'd like to see the Indian Preference, because Marge has been a one gal band for so many years, even though we all support the effort, the alignment with a department that can have more influence on the area, I think, is what may be missing. So I'd like to entertain a motion to place Indian Preference under the Develop Division and for the enforcement purposes. So
that's the plan, to bring forward that in the appropriate manner, I guess, because we did have agreement between Butch, the Chief Financial Officer, to go ahead and do that. But we want to do it formally and present that so that we understand exactly what's going to happen.
I think that would be smart.
I don't know if the committee is ready for that. If not, if you are, then we can support it now. But we were planning on bringing that to the next business committee meeting.
I've got a question.
The training, we do have like successful training at the electrical department and the plumbing at DPW, where they've trained people, and we have masters there, and so we do. I mean, that's the best way to work. the problem with that we had in the past with some of the, when the electricians and the plumbers want to do the projects, it's hard to have the, you have to have money so you can buy the materials. And because I think electrical came to do, they wanted to do the ORCC, and they had to have, you know, accounts payable so they could get the materials, and then they would do the work over at the ORCC themselves. But so there are issues you have to do, but the best way I think to do it would be to have our own plumbers and our own electrical. I mean, we have enough masters where we could do our own training and our own apprenticeships and do most of our own work. You know, then there's other trades we'd have to look into after, but at least we do have a lot of masters and that are electricians and that were trained. You know, Greg, you know that yeah. So.
Well, you have certified heavy equipment operators as well as certified.
Yeah. Carpenters. Yeah, that's another one. But, I mean, we need to start making it easier for our own to do our own work and you know, just take portions of the job and do it ourselves. And
then again, that workforce development grant perhaps could be an option for some of that.
And then we'd have control over their apprenticeship. If you hire a contractor, we can force them to hire people at the – on that construction project, but then as soon as they go off, you know, they don't either they don't bring them with them or they give them crap, you know, on the job site. So I just assume, you know, that we would take over that and do as much of it as we can. But I mean, there's a lot of work to developing that, but we've done it in the past, and we have people that have set some of the stuff up, like Bill Vannon, who works in our department. He
right.
He helped set that an apprenticeship thing up before. So, and then Bruce helped set up that the equipment operator thing. So, we do have the ability to do it. We just need to roll up our sleeves and do the work.
Yes, sir.
There's a few things. That I'm hearing a direction of for the DPW to do the training. A couple of things that I've witnessed on job sites, that contractors are eager and willing to make commitments to acquire jobs on tribal lands. Not many fulfilled. How many apprentices do you see on the job site, or for that matter, are there any apprentices been kept full-time? The job site that I was talking about was I worked on the Potawatomi Casino down in New Buffalo, Michigan.
Hey, I think our attorney's waving the red flag on naming different contractors.
I am advising the business committee that mention a specific job sites, contractors, or individuals or work sites in this meeting would potentially result in liability to the tribe as so that we need to stay away from specifics and simply be general about what we're talking about as we've been up until now.
Okay. Did I mention any? I did. Who did I mention? Okay. Anyhow, I'm just these contractors. They're wanting our jobs, and if we do have that power to have them take on apprentices, I wrote up a little write-up the first time. I think Melinda was there the time I handed this one out. If you took those seven contractors doing tribal jobs on Oneida Casino Project, from each contractor we'd bargain in writing that on each job we would ask them to meet with our coordinator and solicit to the high schools for our young adults interested in construction work and set up an interview, some type of program set up. The selection process would have to be determined. This is the thought that kind of would bring the revenue money in. Imagine seven contractors hiring one apprentice each. If the tribe paid to send those same seven young adults to college, over the course of 5 years, the tribe would save $125,000 per student times seven. That's $875,000. That's money, that's revenue that we could save by what we have legally wrote up in here that says it is a policy of the tribe to guarantee, to undertake reasonable efforts to guarantee that all entities that enter into contract with or on behalf of the tribe utilize the labor force of Indian workers and businesses by applying Indian preference in all aspects of fulfilling the contract. And this is hiring and training. So just something that's being laid aside here could actually bring in revenue and help pay, you know, even the salaries of the designee or maybe other staff people that would be part of that process. So what we have in writing is right out there for the contractors. In fact, I know two contractors that offered apprenticeships to people out there because they knew the stuff was coming up. So there's another way of looking at that besides handing that over to DPW. But Madeline. I'm glad something's being done.
Madeline.
I get the picture, and Melinda, I'd like you to listen. I get the picture that the contractors are being let off the hook, and I don't like that. I think the contractors need to be held to their contracts. And I also get the picture that this has been talked about and talked about and talked about, and it's time to stop talking and move. Do something. Do it now.
Actually, it's only been talked about with me for the last maybe month. So you're talking 30 days, and we are moving. And so actually, I think that we're moving at a good pace. My colleagues are actually surprised because we just had that meeting. I haven't even been able to talk to them about what's occurring and why it's occurring, and that's why I'm asking for the time to prepare the formal package to bring to the business committee as a whole. From my perspective, if we're going to, you know, if we're asking, and I've told Marge this, that it's her responsibility to hold those contractors responsible. That's what's in the law. So if the contractors aren't doing their job, it's Marge's responsibility as the Indian Preference Director to make sure that's enforced. So, but at the same time, if the contractors are going to continue to take these men, say, yeah, we're going to make you, we're going to try to train you, but then they're just becoming laborers, I mean, it doesn't make sense. We need to put our dollars where it makes sense. So make them do it. We can do, like I said, we can go hold them accountable. We can fine them. We can do that. But it's going to defeat the purpose. We're going to continue to fine them, and they're not going to get trained still. So either we train them or we don't. We let the contractors off the hook again.
If we don't leave them, if we were to address that issue at contracting signing time and Indian Preference had a chair at the table and said, look, we're looking to fulfill 100% of these jobs by Oneida. That's not going to happen, but we'd like to get as many on as possible. And we're also looking for the apprenticeships being brought on, whether or not you want to go in and canvass the Pulaski. Troy Parks was saying the other day that he had a program where he went into Pulaski, and he showed the magic to these kids so that when they saw things that, like how a three-way switch works, you know, people wonder, how can that happen? And if you show them the magic and give them examples and take in certain items that intrigue them, we're going to have a lot more kids entering into the construction field. And this is where we might save, if they get hired on as an apprentice, this is where we're going to save $875,000 from the tribe, not sending them to a five-year college, but having somebody else pay for it. That's where we hold those contractors accountable. And I have seen contractors eager, real eager, to offer apprenticeships to the natives because they want that job. I mean, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there, and they'll do anything to get those jobs. I've seen it. So that's something I think that it really needs a hard look at, because it could bring revenue in, and we could have somebody else pay for our kids' education. So,
Isaiah, is there anything wrong with the law that you see other than the enforcement part? But the enforcement part is there through Indian preference. I think we need to be removing these people. Or is it not in there?
It's in there. It's in there. It's not visible and workable.
Marge, did you have a...
It's in words only.
And then I think that we need to be removing people from the vendors list if that's the case, and we shouldn't be hiring these contractors if they can't live up to their responsibility of the contract.
Did you? I don't think Marge had a seat at the bidding table.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, did. She does.
Were you there?
She was even at the seat when we wrote the law. I mean, all these guys were at the seat when we were writing the law. I think the law is there. It's good. But we are not doing the enforcement part of it, and we need to step that up.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm Victorietta Hensley, and I'm the Workforce Development Coordinator. And I hear talk about us being able to work with Indian Preference, and we do. However, the scope of our grant guides us as to what we can do and what we can't do currently. And also currently, we can supply like tools and things of that sort for individuals that need certain things. However, our training program is already laid out for us currently. So for us to change that, it would take a lot to do that within our grant. However, we are working, we are starting small. I mean, we're looking at doing trans. We're partnering with Green Bay Downtown, and we are providing that. We are providing classes, certain classes in certain areas where the trends show that we need to have people hired and say in 5 years in the healthcare area. However, I also know that there are areas such as the trades area that does need that help, and maybe we can do some things in that area also. But currently, our grant does is already laid out as far as the scope goes.
Okay, gentleman over here.
Hi, man.
And then Marge.
Hi, my name is Anthony Franco. If we can't get the contractors to fulfill their contracts and train our people, I'd like to see something like we had a rehabilitation energy efficiency program. That was great. I'd like to see a program like that in Oneida with subject matter experts that would run in conjunction with from residential to commercial, and that if there's anything going on like commercial-wise or residential, they would run parallel with these projects. So not only would you have contractors hire in Oneida, make sure they fulfill their job, but you would also have this program that would also be on a job site intermingling, making sure that our tribe gets trained, our people get trained. So there will always be, I mean, if we could pass a budget for subject matter experts and across the board in from commercial to business, I think we would constantly have something here for the people to be trained. It's something to think about.
Okay, Marge.
Okay, I wanted to just mention what Brandon had said, that a plane is supposed to...
Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
One more thing. That Oneida Rehabilitation Energy Efficiency Program that went on in 2010, that was a great program. We got 30-something units done within those couple seasons. Greg Manson was there. He saw the work that the kids did. I was a team leader on there, and I think a program like that would be very beneficial to our people if it were being brought back.
Okay, Marge. Thank you.
Okay, just in support of that, yes, I think, you know, we need to, it's time now where our own people are building our own homes and doing our own work on our reservation. But what Brandon had said earlier about a complaint is supposed to come to the Indian Preference Department, and that's where I thought it was coming, but it got taken to the Business Committee, to Ed, which I'm grateful for that. Because when it comes to our department, it seems to get stopped there. Or maybe it gets over to the judicial system and then gets stopped there. So I'm glad that it's brought forward here to the business committee, and everyone is involved in the concerns of getting our people trained in the trades, in the building trades, all the building trades. I see a lot of young people who are missing out and not getting any kind of skill or trade, and we need to find ways to mentor them and encourage them, like the program that was going on at the Oneida Housing Authority. Now the Oneida Housing Authority would never hire any of our skills bank workers. In the 14 years that I've been in Indian Preference, I and Charlene Smith would always have to file a complaint because they wouldn't hire anyone. And they didn't want anything to do with Indian Preference. And there is more out there than I'd like to admit that people...
Marge, you have to be careful about making accusations.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, now, I have one of the workers here with us today. Well, we have two, actually three, and I'd like him to maybe speak next because I'm getting personal. I'm sorry.
Yeah, my name is Alan King, and with the enforcement issue, is there was really a hard time to enforce Indian Preference on contractors because there's no backing to enforce it. So it had to be brought up to the business committee because there is no chain of command, so to say, where it goes to Marge and then up the ladder it gets dismissed. Now, I personally have an open complaint that was not resolved against a contractor for violating the Indian Preference Law. And it's been months, and it is still not resolved. The tribal attorney has worked through...
I see our tribal attorney, and she's...
yeah, okay. But no, my point to that is it's got to be something where the contractor can be held accountable because the tribe should not have to pay our own fines. The tribe should not have to have a budget set aside for Indian Preference complaints. These contractors should have a separate bond for performance and another bond for Indian Preference when they sign their contracts. Because it makes no sense that the Indian Preference Office is not able to hold something over their heads to make them accountable. So if the enforcement can be done in a way that the contractor would understand that this is a law and that the Indian community and the native workers are in support of this, and the business committee is in support of this, they would have to have a separate Indian Preference bond placed on a project so that it comes out of the contractor's pocket, not out of the tribe's pocket itself.
I've heard from Marge saying that we've taken these issues to the Appeals Commission, and they've not enforced? Is there Is there something legislatively that we need to put out there to make sure that what you're saying, you know, to force these contractors to adhere to their contracts? Is our laws weak somewhere, or is the law itself
it
needs to be improved?
It is not weak.
The weakness is in the personnel.
The law gives the Oneida Indian Preference Department the ability to look at a complaint. You go to Marge and you complain to her. She has the ability, according to the law, to go to the contractor and say, you need to rectify this matter, or else we have the ability to go now to the judicial system to ask for order to be entered. Okay? Or she could put them on a probationary status as an Indian preference vendor. She has all of those abilities in order to do that. So if you want to look at the law, those laws do have enforcement mechanisms. The Indian Preference Office is supposed to be developing a schedule of fines and bringing that to the Business Committee for approval so that the Indian Preference Office has the ability to fine. Now, I do understand, and one of the biggest issues is that Marge needs help. She needs help in that office, and when we brought forward the Indian Preference Law and the fiscal impact statement, the Business Committee was made aware that she probably would need one or two more staff people over the next 5 years. So that is one of the things that we are considering when we're talking about development, getting her help from the development division in order to perform those kind of jobs. This law was adopted in 2013. It does have new provisions around enforcement. It does have new provisions around vendors and how we don't want to have shell companies be certified as vendors with the business committee. They're working through that. It has skill banks provisions. It talks about training mechanisms. It talks about so there's a lot of things that need to be implemented within the law still. And I guess, you know, if we're going to move down that path, a lot of the responsibilities do fall on Marge. And that's very clear in the law. There is enforcement mechanisms in the law. It just needs to be implemented.
Jeanette, and then Greg, and then Patty.
Thank you. My name is Jeanette Ninham. I was a past employee of Indian Preference for 5.5 years, and I just want to speak to the complaint in front of you. I guess that the skills bank workers are put on the projects through mostly the engineering department hires the contractors out there through the AIA documents. That's kind of how they follow what rules they put out there for the contractors, I believe. And then the Indian Preference comes in after that point and puts people out on the projects. During my 5.5 years working under that, there was one person I seen go with a company when they left. And so that's 5.5 years of, you know, all of our projects, and they only took one person. So, you know, it's a true and legitimate complaint that he's got, because Marge has not had, I've seen her knock on people's doors. I've seen her up here on second floor. I've seen her, you know, ask for that support from all of you and others, and ask for, you know, to support this office, and it's been slow coming. And I'm grateful that she's here today, and, you know, Isaiah has brought this forward to you, and Melinda is working very hard with, you know, Indian Preference to settle it so plans can go forward, and it can get better, and it can get better for our young people, because there's a lot of young people home on the couch, living still with mom and dad after they've graduated and doesn't have a goal and don't want to, you know, proceed out there and have a career. Maybe don't know what, you know, that career path is. So I think we're all on the right path. And I guess I just wanted to say, with Indian Preference being able to get more staff and more help and utilize, you know, like the people that are in development already, that it'll be able to get to be better and to be enforced more. And it is in the law, the enforcement. It just needs the backing and the support of a person, a real person, to, you know, more than one, to carry this out. Thank you.
Well, there again, a lot of good conversation, and that ultimately come around full circle to that that's my point, is if you brought it into the development division that handles the zoning and the compliance and the licensing and the development side, then you've got that team somewhat built with the experts in-house. It continues to go on. I'm glad that Melinda's working on it, and I'm sure it'll be a full-blown presentation for us to all consume when it gets here at the next meeting. But we need that commitment that by this committee now to make sure that it comes to that full circle by next meeting. Or when were you recommending? Two meetings?
Next meeting.
Next meeting. So, and you've heard from head of development there, Butch Rentmeester, that the supporting efforts will be there. Mm-hmm. You've got extremely talented individuals out there in the community that are able to contribute to the needs that we have. Mm-hmm. We need to become suppliers to our own needs. That's the plain and simple. The contractors now, because I was in the electrical union, the painters union, the carpenters union, I was in all of those. I also contracted with them. I know that world too, and it's an ugly world. It is truly a dog-eat-dog world. So we need to become the suppliers to that. And if we have our youth or our individuals trained to be the suppliers to the outside needs as well as our own, then you become your own supplier and you become in demand as well. So I think all of the points made here today are obvious that we need to get this done. So I appreciate the efforts being brought forward. I don't know what we can do today or if there's any recommendations to move it forward beginning today.
Eddie, and then Dustin Fish.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to make a motion, and I think we just have to be patient. A solution is already in the works, so we just need to allow that to come forward. So I make a motion that we refer this issue back, or refer this issue to our next business committee meeting so that Councilwoman Melinda Danforth can bring back a recommendation.
Support.
Motion by Patty Heff, seconded by Paul Ninham. Discussion. I had a question.
No, so the whole point is bringing it back to the next meeting and discussing it and see where it goes from there, correct? Right. That what you're saying? Okay.
Is that next week?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. There's one more thing I'd like to keep in mind, though. It's not just the contractors that are following through on the apprentices and internship, but the... in discussing this topic with individuals, our own housing authority, I don't know if we carry any apprentices on that. They've got plumbing and I mean, we're building all these houses out here, and we have no youth working on that. We could be training them at the same time through our own government, I mean, through our own system.
Right.
So I think that the Oneida Housing Authority needs to be looked at as well, and say, hey, we need you guys to get on board and get these young kids or get anybody that's interested in you know, maybe getting a, because they got to have their master's, and if you're working under a master, then you can get your journeyman's card, you can go off and do your work on your own. So that's another
I'm hearing that the problem is not in the law, the problem is not at the appeals commission, the problem is that you need more help to be able to enforce our laws.
They wrote the law and put more into it, more responsibilities, but they didn't put any staff in there. I've been the only one for the last, I think it's 4.5, 5 years, trying to enforce the law. Well, of course, the law has only been changed since March of 2013, though. So that was just a little over a year, that more responsibility. And the promise was that the office would grow. But it's just staying to one person.
With additional
help, one person
help,
can't do it. I don't...
Enforce the contracts and do what appears to be what we want done is to make these contractors...
Hire
be serious
our people.
About training Oneidas. Madeline?
Oh,
hope if you do something that you will maybe have a paralegal or somebody that works with it, somebody that knows how to enforce the law and or assign the chief legal counsel to assign somebody to enforce the law with the contractors. But above all, do not let the contractors off the hook when whatever you come up with.
Thank you. Butch, and then...
I wanted to call for the question.
Yeah,
I think we've
exhausted.
We're not going to be able to solve it here. It needs to go back for 2 weeks, and there are things that we don't want to bring up here.
For the question. So could you read the motion, and we'll vote?
I make a motion to refer this issue to the next business committee meeting so that Councilwoman Melinda Danforth can bring back a recommendation.
We have a motion.
I seconded that earlier, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, okay. Okay, we'll vote. All those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We'll have more at the next meeting.
Okay.
Thank you. Next on the agenda. Approve limited waiver of sovereign immunity for Discovery Education contract. Greg Madsen is the sponsor.
I think this is just a routine matter to waive limited sovereign immunity, but I also wanted to check about the legal the legal note. Was that a clause had to be removed as well?
Yes, this is Discovery Education. They provide educational videos in our library systems, both schools.
We just need to know more about the, we're not here to discuss the contract. We're just here to discuss your request to waive limited sovereign immunity.
Okay, under miscellaneous, it says that the it's enforced under the state of Maryland. And at times we do call the company to see if they can cross that out.
Okay, let's hear from legal counsel.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
that's
sorry.
Quite all right. The contract review identifies the specific clause and terminology that results in a potential sovereign immunity issue. So if it's not deleted, then it requires business committee approval of the contract, the limited waiver of sovereign immunity in the contract. That's the nature of that note on the contract review.
Okay, so this clause won't be deleted, which is why we need the limited waiver? Or did the school board get it deleted?
They were not able to get it deleted, which is why it's in front of the business committee now.
And that's appropriate then?
The business committee determines whether or not it will waive the sovereign immunity of the tribe. The school board is recommending this contract as a normal course of educational processes. It would be the business committee's determination whether or not that outweighs the need to waive a limited to provide a limited waiver of sovereign immunity.
It's kids' videos.
Yeah, it's not about the videos. It's about.
Yes, it is.
It's about the clause. You either waive it, or you either delete it, or you don't. And if we're not going to, why even make a point of it? Let's just waive limited.
The company. I'm trying to think how to say this. So we receive a number of contracts through the law office where we identify clauses that contain limited waivers of sovereign immunity. There's about 8 different clear instances that the language in the contract results us going to a different forum, application of laws, arbitration, mediation, various things. We send those contracts back to the program unit, and they contact the vendor. In most of the cases, the vendors are willing and able to negotiate alternative language that does not result in a waiver of sovereign immunity. Right. You don't see those contracts at all. In some cases, the vendor's unwilling to do so, and the program unit says, well, it's just not important for that contract, they go someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
I am presuming that a contract ending up in front of the business committee requesting a waiver of sovereign immunity is a need that's unable to be fulfilled in some other location by some other vendor, and that's why they're asking you to do this. I defer to the program unit to answer that question.
But I'm just saying it's okay to go into this court, into this jurisdiction if we had to. I'm not saying we're going to, and I have nothing against the contract. It has nothing to do with the content of the contract. It's more about the act of waiving limited sovereignty.
All limited
sovereignty
waivers
immunity.
Of sovereign immunity will allow okay. the tribe to be brought into some other court, in some other jurisdiction, mm-hmm. To the extent identified within the contract itself.
Okay, so it's okay to waive it today. Yes or no?
I don't know how to answer your question. It is within the authority of the business committee to waive it.
Right, but
there
is it okay?
There is nothing that we would indicate at this point that says, oh, it's our very strong recommendation right. that you not go down that road.
Good. Okay. Well, then I'll make the motion to approve the waiver of limited sovereign immunity. Just a little sensitive about this issue these days because, well, you read the news.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion by Patty Heft.
I'll support that, Mr. Chairman.
Supported by Paul Ninham. Discussion. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention?
Abstain.
One abstention, David Jordan. Motion carries. Next, we have the approved CIP concept paper for Project Early Head Start Facility.
Mr. Chairman, after we hear this case, then I would like the committee to take up item number 7 regarding the hyperbaric oxygen chamber treatment. There are some people in the audience who are here to hear that, and it would not be good to keep them waiting.
Morning.
Good morning. Paul Wittick with the engineering department. Basically what this is, the concept paper is something that we're kind of implementing in the CIP process as an initial step. And the intention of the concept paper is really to say, here's a general blush of what the project is. Doesn't have a lot of detail yet, but we're kind of just looking for support for staff to be able to proceed with it and develop the CIP package, which would have the detailed information, the detailed cost estimates, the detailed project parameters on it. And it's really from that standpoint of everybody being stretched so thin, we don't want to spend a lot of energy on a package, bring it forward, and then there is no support for the project, and we've just wasted 6 months of staff time that we don't have. So this process, you'll be seeing more and more of these as they come forward, and that's the intention, really to say you're interested in enough to support it to move forward to the next step to get more detailed information before you would be requested to formally approve the project. But so for this project in particular, the Head Start program actually initiated as a facility management team request looking for some additional space. The program currently, their office function is in the Cottage 3 at the social service site, and then they do some of their socialization programming in the main building, one of the larger conference rooms there. That has been problematic for them. There's safety issues around the cottage that have been problematic for staff and visitors. There's functional issues with the space for their socialization and getting equipment back and forth, getting clientele into there. So they requested that. Facilities management team looked at several options, really could not find a good solution of existing buildings where that would work, one exception being potentially the accounting building. But the facilities management team actually recommended that the Early Head Start program submit this into a CIP application and initiate that process for either a building addition, new facility, remodeling of some location. So the program did do that, made the application to CIP. This is the first kind of step in that process now. We've laid out some of the basic parameters of it. What we'll be looking at doing with the program is developing several options. Two that we've currently already identified, one would be remodeling the old accounting building. The other would be looking at additions to the existing Three Sisters Head Start facility. And as we develop this, we may come up with other options that might be viable as well. That'll be wrapped into an overall package, which would identify the pros and cons of each of those options and the associated costs and timelines. So at this point, what the team is really looking for is, you know, kind of a support or approval of a concept paper. As I mentioned, that would trigger the next step, which would be the team would then assemble the CIP package, and that would be brought forward for formal approval of the project itself.
Mr. Chair.
David.
Make a motion to approve the CIP concept paper for project number 14-013, Early Head Start Facility.
Second. A motion by David Jordan as stated, supported by Brandon Stevens.
Discussion?
Discussion.
In the concept paper, you're not asking us to weigh in on the option to use Hudson Road, the option to use an existing facility versus adding on to an existing facility.
No,
you're still going to explore that yet?
Correct. We are going to explore that with pros and cons in more detail. Okay. That would be brought forward later.
Okay, we have the motion with support. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. We're going to move down to item 7 if everybody's in agreement.
Yeah.
Okay with that, boys?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman.
Item 7, hyperbaric oxygen treatment chamber reconsideration. Who's going to be addressing this?
Madeline Jensko put this on the agenda, and then she has some people in the audience.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is this from the doctor? It's just on page 355. Thank you.
I seen this earlier in the week. I don't know if it came through an email or.
Yeah. Regarding the hyperbaric chamber, I was contacted by several people to ask for my assistance to get the hyperbaric chamber on the agenda, to bring it back one time this summer, and hopefully to put it in the budget next year again. I would like to say that there are a number of people that really need this service very badly. One of them has been here. She wasn't here at the beginning of the meeting. That's why I didn't ask to put her right at the beginning of the meeting. But she's here now. And I would like her to come forward and speak on behalf of her daughter. We're waiting for her to get up here. I gave you a letter from Tom Fox indicating that he would, for this year, he would charge $52,500 for a 44-day treatment site, 60 days in length, inclusive of setup and breakdown. And I'd like to have her speak now.
My mom was going to originally be here, but she's in a hospital.
Talk right into the microphone, honey.
Exactly what they asked me to be here for is that my daughter goes to these treatments.
Can you talk?
She goes to these treatments, and since she's been going, there's been significant improvement in her motor skills, even her sight. She's walking now, and I really do believe 100% that it has a lot to do with those treatments. She does do a lot of physical therapy. However, after these treatments, I don't remember, 42-some treatments that she goes to, over a period of time, it doesn't happen immediately. You notice significant changes in her movement. She speaks a lot now.
Yeah.
She even works on the computers. And she now has went from 8 to 9 month age range, they said, to about 3 to 4. And I think that's a big improvement. So I'm just asking that you keep that for her.
Thank you for coming. I know it was a hard struggle for you. Noreen, the grandmother, went into the hospital last night. Otherwise, she would be here also. I would like other people to come forward to testify what the hyperbaric means to them.
I'm here on behalf of myself. My name is Jennifer Gautreau, my brother Gary Elm. We did not miss more than 3 treatments in 3 years that we've been going. and my brother now has contracted congestive heart failure, and this oxygen therapy with the hyperbarics will help him immensely. It has helped me with my migraines, back pain, overall mood, because when I come out of there, you feel so much better. I sincerely hope that you will approve Tom Fox coming back for this year and in the future. Thank you.
There is a little boy right now who's dying. He's one of my best friends. His name is Norman Betters. He has a child with this one girl, but this child is now his. His name is Giovanni. I don't know if you heard of Lorenzo's Oil, the movie. Well, this is the same disease. It eats your brain, and it replaces it with fat. The child had 6 months to live, and we gave him, I think it was two treatments, and the child has now lived for about a year and a half since then. Now he's blind now. He's going deaf, and he really can use this treatment. I think that it will do good for him. My brother had gotten poisoned with bad drugs, and it messed his brain up and he became schizo. I walked with him through these treatments, and I think he was done about 35 hours. After those 35 hours, he had new stem cells in his brain, because when you're under, it's three atmospheres of pressure. You're in one, you get two atmospheres. Within these two atmospheres in this chamber, your oxygen levels, because it's 100% oxygen, start to mingle with your hemoglobin. Your bone marrow, the stem cells that are in your bone marrow start to be released, and they travel throughout your whole bloodstream. They look, they search, and they plant. When they sense something that is dead, the stem cell replants itself there. And it's just like plants. It takes about a year or two, but you start to regrow these organs and these dead tissues. On a small scale, the oxygen can get to your brain, and it causes life. It's a vital element. You need oxygen. In this atmosphere, if you got brain damage, you can't get oxygen there unless you got two more atmospheres. That's what the chamber does. The chamber has helped me, has helped my brother. I used to be on medications, and I needed those medications. The world was upside down, downside out, and it put a dent into my world, my schooling. But after I've done these treatments, I'm no longer on any medications. I can think so clearly like ever before. I just, if you guys can bring this chamber back, maybe even get one here permanently, you can save a lot of money. But thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning again.
Morning.
I'm speaking on behalf of my granddaughter, who actually is 32 years old, cannot speak, she cannot walk. She's totally incapacitated as far as physical disabilities. The hyperbaric chamber has helped. They're called contractures, where they're tight to their body, their legs, their arms, and by having the treatments, it loosens it up enough that, you know, we can bend her arms and legs for dressing, at least that way. I really support the hyperbaric chamber, and I wish, I know it was a couple of years ago, that there was an opportunity to acquire a walk-in one. For me, I cannot help my granddaughter into the hyperbaric chamber. She weighs like 100 pounds now. And it means lifting her up out of her chair onto a pad or a blanket and then dragging her into the chamber and then setting her up on a chair or setting her up so she can sit up. So if there's any way possible to get a walk-in chamber where you can actually push a wheelchair in, that would be ideal. But I definitely support the need for a hyperbaric chamber. Greg?
Well, I'm just wondering, what's the hesitation for Mr. Fox to bring this information forward? I mean, this is the first I'm hearing of the real story side of what it's been providing to our community. And
Mr. Fox has presented to previous business committees.
Okay, but in the last 3 years, I've heard nothing of it. I'm very impressed with what I'm hearing. But there again, if the information isn't shared throughout the community, then the community just sees it as a cost without any kind of backup to substantiate the resource. So
it's taken a while to get people to. I think it's because of it not coming that people, you know, realize that they have to talk up, they have to speak. We have one more. Can one more person? Okay.
Just quickly, some of you know I've had cancer, throat cancer too, and I've had this treatment and it's helped me. And as far as I'm concerned, if there's anything that can help someone to, you know, to save a life, to have a life, then it's worth the investment. So.
Just to note that viruses, bacteria, and fungus, these are negatively charged. Oxygen is positively charged. When they come together, they shut down reproductive systems. Therefore, it is beneficial to people who do have cancer because it helps shut them down. And oxygen, it activates your immune system like no other, causes it to go into overdrive. Right now in this atmosphere, when we eat, we only digest it at a certain rate. But under those pressures with 100% oxygen, you're getting the most beneficial digestive breakdown and nutrient intake like never before.
Thank you. Cletus?
Good morning. My name is Cletus Ninem. I'm speaking on behalf of the veterans. There's a lot of them that couldn't make it. But when I was in Vietnam, I got hit in 7 places. And I didn't realize I was in an explosion, and I was having headaches I'm still having headaches quite a bit. And any trauma you have to the brain, this chamber will help you. Because I went in there a few times, and it really helped me. And I had sores on my body from Agent Orange, and they also got healed. So, you know, there's a lot of them with PTSD, and I know it will help them because it, like I said, it helped me. So I thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'd like to start by thanking Ed for sponsoring us, and I'd also like to thank Madeline for getting this ball rolling. My name is Cheryl Ladwig. I'm here on behalf of my sister, Bonnie Rice. She was diagnosed last April with stage 4 colon cancer. She had to have surgery to remove a tumor which was totally blocking her colon, after which we saw 2 oncologists. Both told her that she would only live 6 to 9 months without conventional treatment of chemo and radiation. With these treatments, maybe 12 to 15 months. After long thought, she decided to use the remedies Mother Earth gave us and opted for quality of life instead of quantity. Taking a natural approach to healing, she's now on 13 months. She completely changed her lifestyle. She has tried to eliminate as many chemicals from her life as possible, eating organic and giving up all sugars, which fuel cancer. Milk byproducts, wheats, and grains. Due to her lifestyle changes, she has lost over 125 pounds. She has totally amazed her doctors, who told her to continue doing what she has been doing because it obviously has been working. That was 2 months ago at 11 months. Among the different alternative therapies she chose included the hyperbaric chamber, oxygen therapy. This is crucial to flood the body with 100% oxygen, which allows the body to heal better. By doing this, along with all of her lifestyle changes, we were able to slow the progression of her cancer considerably. Needless to say, it was a godsend when we read about the hyperbaric chamber in the Drums Across Oneida paper last summer, and we were planning on doing treatment again this spring. We were extremely disappointed to discover that the chamber was not coming back this year. You know, I do understand money is tight. It's tight everywhere. All my sister's treatments and therapies have come out of pocket. Their insurance will pay for none of it because it's alternative. Who among us have not had to cut corners and the ends still don't meet? What I don't understand is that you guys knew last year that you were not going to be contracting the chamber this year, and nobody said nothing. Nothing was put in the paper. Nor was Tom Fox notified that he wasn't going to be contracted this year. Had we known this, we could have looked someplace for treatment this spring already. It's been 2 months since I brought this matter before you, and cancer waits for no one. 2 months ago, Bonnie's pain was minimal, controlled by oxycodone. Now her pain is so bad she's been referred to hospice to control the pain. Excuse me. She's now on a 72-hour pain patch. Twice a day she has to take a slow-release morphine tablet and fast-acting morphine for her pain spikes. She's literally dying while waiting for your decision. Please, I beg of you all, make the right one. This woman has been an inspiration to everyone around her because of her positive don't give up attitude. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I didn't know when we got to this item we were going to have the testimonials, very, you know, powerful. I wasn't aware, but powerful. I want to thank everybody for your testimonies. Mr. Chairman, I'm wondering, what is it that is being asked? I did read through this, and you know, I'm wondering what is the best. I don't know if there's a decision that is that we're looking at today.
Yes, it would be.
Is this an up or a down, or is this something that you know, that we have to have more discussion around?
Madeline. No, what we requested today was that you decide to put the money into bringing the hyperbaric chamber back this year.
I've got a question. If it's going to be anywhere in the budget, if Larry could maybe ask Larry if he could elaborate on that.
I would suggest that the GTC subcontracted services line be used. There's extra dollars there that have not been spent. This would be an appropriate allocation to bring Dr. Fox and the chamber back. You might recall originally GTC did refer the services back to the business committee, so it's our, again, suggestion you allocate the expenditure out of that line. It's GTC subcontracted services, as they directed that sometime back, specifically for the hyperbaric chamber.
We have to amend that because it wasn't the original cost different than what's being presented now? I thought the cost was significantly higher than what's being presented now.
Go ahead.
Previously, in other years, he brought it back two times, and I think it was like something like $110,000 or so for two times in a season. I mean, two seasons.
So what we're looking for is a motion that would take care, we could have it before October by using the subcontracted services.
Yes.
And then include in the next budget cycle, 2015, one or two sessions. Two, okay. I think we're going to have to move on. Yeah. It's getting really close. Okay.
Where are the numbers when it comes to what I heard mentioned? There's no other hyperbaric chambers in the state of Wisconsin, no other alternatives available?
Those are $1,000 an hour at the hospitals, and they're $100-something dollars an hour somewhere on Oneida Street. But really quick, I'd like to, if this does pass, I'd like to also say this, that these chambers, if we were to spend $100,000 a year, like for the last 9 years, that's already been going towards the chambers treatment, couldn't we just get our own treatment?
Well, that's what I'm leaning towards. What is the actual cost?
He was trying to sell. What? Yeah, for a really big one, mm-hmm. But for one that Tom has, I was told I'd have to check again, but it would be somewhere in the range of $100,000.
Tom has offered to sell us the mobile unit. However, myself, I would not recommend buying the mobile unit. If I was going to have a hyperbaric treatment center, I would have a walk-in one, definitely, because it could accommodate so many more people that can't. It's kind of hard to get into the mobile one. And maybe, you know, if you want to consider, it would cost about $1 million to build a walk-in one. So maybe you'd want to consider that in the future. But right now, here today, we're just here about the funding for this year, out of this year's budget.
Patty.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to say that all of the testimony was very moving, and I know people throughout the tribe have lots of hardships that we each deal with. In regard to this initiative, I'm not sure what the business committee is going to do. I'm going to vote no. And I do that reluctantly, and it's hard to do that in the face of what we saw today. And I know there's more out there than what we just saw today. But the tribe can't provide everything. And some of the needs of each tribal member, we're going to have to take into account our own responsibility, because these services, this mobile service, is only available to those tribal members who live on or near the reservation. And while I support efforts that require tribes or require tribal members to come to the reservation for services rather than because it's an incentive for tribal members to live on or near the reservation, and services like this help motivate them to do this, it doesn't address the needs of tribal members who live far away from the reservation. So I was trying to think of one alternative to do this, and it's something that we won't be able to enact today, but it's something that I'd like us to maybe assign to a team. Maybe Don White could head that up, is to create some kind of voucher system where tribal members, regardless of where they live, can apply and qualify for tribal contribution dollars so that they can get this kind of care wherever they live. So we're not reliant on a mobile center. You know, Amelia talked about the difficulty of lifting her granddaughter into the center. I haven't seen the mobile treatment center, and she talked about a walk-in center. And so maybe a voucher system would allow her to choose the best place to get that need addressed. So it's an alternative that I'd like us to think about. As a voucher system, as a voucher program, it could be housed under governmental services, under Don White. Don White's area in the community support area could be expanded. So that's going to address, that's something for the future. And I know one of the reasons we, I have to find out from Larry Barton if we actually budgeted for this in FY14. Did we decide to budget for it? Because if we did decide to budget for it, then nothing, we should be administering it. Because I know one of the reasons, or Madeline Jensko had a petition on this issue. It was approved by GTC. The interpretation was it was approved for 1 year. But then she was going to bring another petition forward, and it was agreed on that we would continue to fund this so long as she didn't submit the petition. So there was an agreement there. So I just need to find out if we're upholding that agreement. And Larry, did we budget for this service for this year?
The answer is yes. I had Relinda check the minutes.
Okay.
It was,
so it
to,
was
be, to come out of the GTC subcontracted services.
Okay. So
sorry,
then,
Madeline,
so then it should be funded this year, but then we should start talking about next year. I know we're in cost containments.
I'd like to say that it's not correct to say that only Oneidas who live right around Oneida get services. This lady here comes from 2 hours away from Oneida. And I, you know, I just called the people who I had phone numbers for. Who knows how many other ones there were and who came. But voucher system would be fine. But I'm just asking that you move this time, because there are people that are suffering right now. And they're suffering mightily. And I really plead with you to approve this one time this summer and then move to the voucher system if you want to.
Greg and then myself.
Well, there again, if it's budgeted, then I would see a motion to approve the moving forward with it for this year. I don't think I'm clear on the information that's available yet. Anthony is saying that there's a unit available for sale, or Madeline, you had mentioned that Mr. Fox is potentially interested in selling the mobile unit. Well, if it is indeed worth $1,000 an hour, then why not invest in it and go and make that $1,000, make it up, bringing that mobile unit around the country to provide better services for other people. Ultimately, your goal would be to raise $1 million to build your own facility. But it needs conversation. Mr. Fox has not, from my understanding, ever approached the business committee in the last 3 years. From my understanding, I haven't heard anything. And I would like to recommend that when, as you're saying, if you get the approval today, then we need immediate use. Well, apparently, he's going to bring that unit up immediately. And I would like to see a work meeting with the business committee to seek other alternatives to what he's proposing. So,
yeah, I'd like to. They say historically, I used to teach this at tribal school, that leaders need that tough skin, the 7 layers. I don't have that. Big time, I don't have that. And when I see these people suffering, Oneidas, I suffer with them. And we have the answer here. They're asking to fulfill the budget. Let's get this done before October 1st. So her sister, we can do something to try and save her for that young lady, and many, many more who find benefits from this service. It doesn't work on everybody, but the research is that it works on quite a few people. It helps them. This kind of technology wouldn't exist. Right now, it's a technology that probably only the well-off people can afford to have. But we have an opportunity to provide that for all our people who want to come and partake of it. They have to come here, and I believe that if we were going to create a voucher system, it could become cost prohibitive. before we go in that direction, let's analyze the cost there. But we have an answer for what these people are asking for and what we need. Because these are our people, and they are definitely suffering. I would hope we make a motion to relieve some of the suffering, because it's hurtful and it's tragic when we lose someone we love.
Mr. Chairman. Okay. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the exception to the procedure to approve the request.
Support. I have a motion by David Jordan, supported by Greg Mattson. Discussion. Brandon.
Contrary to the chairman, I mean, I do have very thick skin, and, you know, I try to be very objective about all these decisions that we make, you know. What I would like us to study these types of things. I would like us to venture to do these types of things and making sure that we have a baseline of evidence, a baseline of information, so we can do something with Congress. We can say, Congress, this type of technology works for us. We've spent money on researching these things, and it works for us. And so this is why I'm in support of this, but I want more. I just don't want to get this have this come up every single year and have us address this every single year separately. I want us to address these types of things so we can look at it for a long-term solution to say we might have government funding for this type of thing in the future. And so and this possibly is the day that we could start that. And so that's on the way that I am right now. I'm in support of this. Yeah. Yeah. What would they be meant for?
Mr. Chairman, okay. Call for the question, please.
Okay. I guess I'll make an amendment to the motion and say, well, while I'm in support of the motion, I want us to research as well the impacts that the individuals have on the treatment, and so we can provide possibly future remedies to funding from other sources rather than from the general or from our coffers.
Okay, that's an amendment. Could we have a second to the amendment?
Second.
Second by Paul Ninham. Discussion.
Well, I think if you can name Mr. Fox as being able to bring the research studies that he's got available up with the, I mean, it would help. It would help initiate some thought into the system.
I withdraw my amendment because I think it needs more thought. I still want it to go in that direction, but I think it needs more thought on what Patty's question is about who's responsible for the research and how we get to there. But I'm still, that's where I'm at. I want to go in that direction, but I also want results. I want to see results so we can say, this works for us. Let everyone else benefit from something like this because we're giving it a chance.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if the councilman is going to withdraw his motion, I'll concur then.
Okay, we do have a motion.
Call for the question, please.
Call for the question. All those in favor of the motion. Patty, could you read it?
The motion was made by David Jordan, seconded by Greg Mattson, to approve an exception to the procedure for cost containment and approve the request.
Okay, we'll do a roll call.
Procedure if it's been budgeted. Why is there a procedure, an exception?
Cost containment's put a hold on spending by.
And that's why it's an exception.
Consultancy contracts, yeah.
We'll start with the secretary.
Chairman, I'm just questioning how come we're doing a roll call vote.
Because I think it's going to be close.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay, we'll try. All those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No. Patty.
Abstain? Okay. Motion carries. Okay.
Okay. That'll take us back to number five, HR
Madam
items.
Secretary, Mr. Chairman, I have a noon meeting scheduled regarding, it's around industrial hemp, and I've got that meeting at 12 o'clock. I've got about nine people coming from the organization, so I'm going to need to step out about 5 minutes till 12 if we're going to be going over.
All right, well, let's go.
And I'm also going to have to leave in about 5 minutes. and I'll be gone for about an hour. So will we still have a quorum? Yes, we will. Okay. Okay, next on the agenda.
Okay, yes. Our first request is for Comprehensive Health to post and hire a social worker. This position is funded with tribal contributions, a good portion by grants, and it also has third-party reimbursement. This position was reviewed by the senior leadership team, and they support it moving forward.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve, Patty Heft.
Support.
Supported by Belinda Danforth. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Next.
The next is Comprehensive Health, Behavioral Health, to post and hire a substance abuse counselor. Again, the same. It has tribal contribution, grant funds, and it also has third-party reimbursement and was reviewed by senior leadership.
Motion to approve.
Support.
Motion to approve, Patty Heff, seconded by David Jordan. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries.
The next request is for Comprehensive Health, Behavioral Health to post and hire two dual diagnosis therapists. And again, it has tribal contribution, grant funds, and third-party reimbursement and was reviewed by the senior leadership team.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve, Patty Heft.
Support.
Supported, Melinda Danforth. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Comprehensive Health Division approved posting and hiring an ambulatory clinic registered nurse.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion to approve, Melinda Danforth, seconded by Brandon Stevens. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries.
Okay, the next request is for Community Health to hire a limited term for the Administrative Assistant 3 for the WIC program. Now, this one did have a lot of discussion surrounding this. They have an employee who's on a leave, and they have tried to bring other people in from the health center. They need somebody to specifically stay in the WIC area to handle the clientele on a daily basis and have some consistency with the customers.
Is this committee?
Motion to approve.
Motion by David Jordan to approve.
Second.
Second by Patty Heft. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Comprehensive Health Division approved posting and hiring.
For a registered nurse. Yep.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion to approve. Melinda Danforth, Paul Ninham seconded. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Comprehensive Health Division approved posting and hiring patients accounts representative.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion to approve, David Jordan, seconded by Paul Ninham. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Comprehensive Health Division approved posting and hiring community health social worker.
Move to approve.
Paul Ninham, move to approve.
Support.
Supported by David Jordan. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Gaming. Approve minimum staffing levels for one off-track betting supervisor.
Motion to approve.
Support.
Motion to approve, David Jordan, supported by Paul Ninham. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Gaming. Approve posting and hiring wardrobe clerk.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion to approve, David Jordan, seconded by Paul Ninham. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries. Governmental Services, approve hiring 38 summer youth workers for WIA job training program.
Motion to approve.
Motion Support. To approve, David Jordan, supported by Paul Ninham. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Internal Services Division, approve posting and hiring limited term employee photographer, reporter for Gulowiesax.
Move to approve.
Motion to approve, Paul Ninham.
Second. Support.
Seconded by Patty Heff. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, if we can hold off on M and the next two items, M and N, until 1:30, the school board or the school team will return at 1:30.
Okay.
Okay, perfect.
Unless you're ready to make that without, you don't need them? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move to approve the request, item M, Oneida Nation School, approve the posting and hiring of a fifth grade elementary teacher.
Motion made by Paul Ninham, supported by Greg Mattson. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries.
Might as well take up the next one, too.
Okay. Paul, you want to do the same thing?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, move to approve item N, Oneida Nation School. Approve the posting and hiring of Reading Resource Elementary Teacher.
Support.
Motion made by Paul Ninham, supported by David Jordan. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Paul, I like the way you make your motion.
And then if we can take up item number six before the lunch break, because Madeline Jenskow sponsored that, and she's still here.
Change guidelines for community support program regarding dental care funds.
I want to put a motion on the floor first, Madeline, before
okay.
you. I have a motion to defer this to the LOC to look at potential policy changes in the community support fund policy.
Support.
Motion by Melinda Danforth, supported
That's
by Paul
That's where
it's
going to go anyway.
Discussion, Madeline?
I'm really hoping that this policy will be changed regarding dental health. For most people who live in Brown or Outagamie County, most of their dental health is taken care of. But even here, sometimes even if you go to the clinic, there's can be costs like $150. And that's not bad. Most people can handle that. But the problem is people who lived out of Brown and Outagamie County, you can get a $1,000 dental bill real fast. Just to have a tooth removed if it's broke off or something like that. And for people, and I would like to, if you do this, I would like to hope that it would be income guidelines. Because people who have a high income, you know, they might not be able to do it that month, but maybe if they save their money next month, they'll be able to take care of their dental problem. But low-income people, especially those who don't qualify for assistance from anywhere else, they are stuck. And I knew of a man in Milwaukee who called me and asked me for help back in the days when you could ask for help from community support. And this man was on antibiotics because he had heart disease. And his teeth were rotting, and he couldn't afford to have them taken care of. And I referred him to community support at that time, and they paid for most of it. He paid for $200 worth. But, you know, that man would have just been stuck if he couldn't get help from community support. And the law regarding community support has been changed so that it's only it pays for a catastrophic event, illness, or accident. It does not pay for dental care, and dental care can lead to heart disease if you don't have dental care. And so anyway, I'm really hoping that
Community support will once again cover dental care for Oneida tribal members, especially the low-income ones who live off the reservation out of Brown and out of Gamey County.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, Madeline, for your comments. Call for a question.
Okay, we have a motion stated by Melinda Danforth to defer this to where?
LOC.
To the LOC.
LOC for review. Do we have support?
Paul Ninham supported.
And support by Paul Ninham. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Thank you, Madeline.
Mr. Chair, would like to make a recess till 1:30.
We have a request for recess. Everybody in...
Can we just...
Can we knock off a few?
Yeah, I was going to say, let's knock off a few.
I got 5 minutes yet.
Okay. Five, yeah, withdraw my request then.
Okay, number eight.
You going to juggle here, or are you going to...
Number eight, let's go. Let's go.
Let's follow it.
Okay. Item eight. Approve activation of $561,000 for approval of the CIP budget for building demolition.
Move to approve.
Motion by Paul Ninham to approve, supported by David Jordan. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thanks, Paul.
Green demolition, boys.
Green, all the way.
Replace. Make it good.
Item nine, support economic support to contract with the State of Wisconsin Health Services and Food Share Employment Training Program.
This was as a result of the Department of Health and Human Services consultation that I attended a few weeks ago in LCO. We were informed that the State of Wisconsin Food Share Employment and Training Program for single adults living onto themselves are now going to be required to go and find employment. So the rules are changing because it wasn't mandatory prior. It was mandatory, then it wasn't mandatory, and now it's going to become mandatory again. And one of the questions that was asked by Economic Support Services was whether or not the tribe wanted to continue to administer the FSET program. It's called Food Share and Equal Employment Program. And we have about 45 people that we serve. And the funds for us administering this program would come from the State of Wisconsin. So Economic Support Services is seeking to have the business committee endorse them entering into contract with the State of Wisconsin in order to administer the FSET program on behalf of our tribal members. Well, I shouldn't say tribal members, but those eligible for the program. So I'm asking for the business committee to do so at this time.
Motion to approve.
Second.
A motion by David Jordan to approve. Supported by Brandon Stevens. Look of concern on Chief Counsel.
And just so you know, it's going to be requiring a signature from the either the chairman or the vice chairman to go to the State of Wisconsin acknowledging that. And yeah. Pre will draft that for us. All right, thanks.
Okay, we have a motion with support. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Travel reports, there is none. Travel request, item one, election board.
Second.
A motion by Patty Heft, supported by Paul Ninham.
One change, that it should be the 11th. Is that correct? Because the request was on the 12th, but I think it should be the 11th.
The election is on the 12th. Travel would be on the 11th for setup and then returning on the 13th.
I just wanted that clarified. Yep.
So it's the 11th through the 13th.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let the record show the corrections.
Second.
We have a motion by David Jordan.
P8, Patty Heft, and Paul Ninham.
Seconded. We have a motion by P8, supported by Paul Ninham. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Item 2 is workforce development. Request for 2 employees. Administrative.
It's all grant funding.
Move to approve.
Motion support.
Yeah, motion by Paul Ninham to approve, supported by David Jordan. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Okay. Now, Mr. Chairman, motion to recess to 1:30.
Mr. Chairman, what I would propose is that I do have that meeting. I can have somebody else run that for a bit. We just have gaming management, and I think we've just got executive session items, and I think we'd be done in about 15 minutes.
Okay.
And I can go have somebody start that meeting for me.
And we do have to go back into executive session for that one gaming matter. Let's see, Geraldine left already. Marketing?
There will be 5 of you, though.
Right.
It's up to you guys. I'm just saying, unless you want to come back at 1:30.
1:30.
It's all right.
I think we have to, yeah, come back at 1:30. Yeah.
Well, let's just get as much done. Let's go till 12:15 and get as much done. And then we'll break at 12:15.
We might as well just finish up.
You're wasting our time here. Let's go.
Let's just go.
All right. Going to reports. Chief Counsel report.
Someone call him. Move to approve.
Second.
Move to accept.
Approve the report, supported by Brandon Stevens.
Accept.
All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, Melinda Danforth. Motion carries. Item 2 is Gaming General Manager bimonthly report. Motion to accept the report.
Second.
Patty Heft, supported by Paul Ninam. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item 3 is Legislative Affairs Monthly Report.
Move to defer.
We have a motion to defer this item. Paul Ninam.
Second.
Do you want a date clarification?
Our next meeting. BC meeting?
Yes.
With the clarification, supported by Patty Heft. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Enterprise report.
Yeah, actually, that should say retail enterprise. And I'll make a motion to accept.
A motion by Patty Heft.
Second.
To accept the report, supported by Paul Ninam. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Item 5, Oneida Airport and Hotel Corporation Board.
Move to accept the report.
Support.
To accept the report. Paul Ninham, supported by David Jordan. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention?
Abstain.
Motion carries. One abstention, Patty Heft. Item 6, Oneida Golf Enterprise Corporation.
Move to accept the report, Mr. Chairman.
Support.
Motion by Paul Ninham to accept the report, supported by David Jordan. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item 7, Oneida Integrated Enterprises.
Move to accept the report.
Motion by Paul Ninham to accept.
Support.
Supported by Melinda Danforth. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, just one note. At the next BC meeting, we want them to bring back a report from OESC.
Yes.
I don't need to make that a motion. I will just ask them to do that. Okay.
Item 8 is the Bay Bank Corporation report.
Motion to approve.
Motion by David Jordan to approve. Supported by Melinda Danforth. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item 9, Oneida 7 Gens Corporation report.
Move to accept the report.
Yep. Motion by Paul Ninham to accept the report. The verbal report yesterday.
Mr. Chairman. What?
With the Oneida 7 Generation Agent report, they also gave us a recommendation to approve the letter from that the law firm of Godfrey & Kahn will send to the city.
I would like to include that in my motion, Mr. Chairman.
Let the motion reflect. Did we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay.
Supported by Brandon Stevens. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstention?
Abstain.
One abstention, Melinda Danforth. Motion carries. Audit Committee report. Item 1, extend internal division director additional duties assignment.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to transfer the print shop business. No, we need more discussion on this item. I want to go back into executive session and talk about this. So we could move to other items and...
Okay, we'll
make a motion to defer this back to the Internal Services Director to bring back a rollout plan that details how this entity will become an indirect service and that for the next meeting. I want to know the details.
Well, I thought the plan was just to align it under internal services, become an internal service.
Right. Well, yeah, if we're not clear, then I think we should go back into exec.
I'll
second that motion.
We need to go back into executive.
She's not here today, so that's why I'd rather see it.
We just need to talk about it.
So where are we going with it? The motion?
I'm going to vote against the motion.
I'll withdraw my motion.
And I'm going to vote against the motion.
I withdrew it.
Oh.
do we want to defer it to?
Just so we can go, it'll take like 5 minutes when we take up that other matter. We could discuss it a little bit more.
Okay, we have a motion to defer this back to executive by Patty Heft.
For today.
We have support on that.
Support.
Supported by Belinda Danforth. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. It'll be picked up in executive.
Yeah.
Unfinished business. We have a procedural exception recommendation from Land Office.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to direct the Chief Financial Officer to follow up with the diocese regarding the land acquisition offer and with the assistance of the Division of Land Management and bring back a recommendation to the Business Committee.
Second.
We have a motion by Patty Heft as stated, supported by Paul Ninham. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. New business request. We have proposal for Oneida Nation School System. I think this is going to be deferred till 1:30.
Well, we don't want to defer it.
They
do want to come back and talk some more on it. But
oh, they do?
I want to make a motion to defer to the next BC meeting, an executive session.
I'll second that. We needed more information from them and more conversation with
them
about their request.
Okay, we have a motion by David Jordan, as stated, supported by
Patty Heft to defer.
Defer this to the next BC meeting.
Mm-hmm.
All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item 2, employment compensation. Chief Financial Officer, approved 10% additional duties compensation for Assistant Chief Financial Officer.
Motion to approve.
Was it this one?
We have a motion by David Jordan to approve the request.
Supported
by Melinda Danforth.
For 6 months. Or sooner.
A discussion.
I guess
I'll ask Geraldine, have we been consistent with the retroactive pay?
We have.
Okay. I was just making sure.
We've been consistent with the percentage.
The percentage
was 15 before.
The percentages are going to be based on a recommendation from the supervisor. They do vary, and again, it comes back to the scope of work that they're taking on. How much additional responsibility are they taking on? Is it a little bit in the middle, or is it like you're doing two positions? So those are the things that they have to take into consideration. The senior leadership reviewed this request, and they felt that it was appropriate for 10% and support the 10%.
I guess the only concern I got is that it's an additional cost if you really reflect on what was in place prior to the turnover to finance area.
Mm-hmm.
Is an actual savings compared to what is being proposed now, because 10% of a dollar is different than 10% of 50 cents.
Yes.
50 cents.
So I draw concern there, but the motion's been made. It's been supported. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Mr.
Chairman, I'm going to ask to respectfully ask to be released, go run that meeting next door.
Mr. Chairman, I have a follow-up motion on this regard. Maybe Paul could wait and just decide to vote on this. Paul? Maybe you could just wait one more moment, just so we could discuss a little bit more. I just wanted to make a motion to direct that the CFO bring back a report to the business committee at our next meeting on the status of the farm, addressing the items that we identified when we transferred the farm operation to his direction in April, and then set a date for our strategy mapping meeting so that it occurs with us before the end of June.
Mr. Chairman, I'll support that motion, that amendment. Or is that amendment or a motion?
A motion.
I'll support that motion.
Here we have a motion by Patty Heft that's stated with giving direction to the CFO office, supported by Paul Ninham. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item B is Comprehensive Health Division to approve title reassignment for registered nurse.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion by Patty Heft to approve the request.
Second.
Supported by Brandon Stevens. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item C is Comprehensive Health Division reconsidered a BC action to approve 6.7% additional duties compensation. Not the 15% that was combined in earlier.
Make a motion to reconsider the 15.7% instead of the 15%.
I'll second that.
The motion by David Jordan is stated, supported by Patty Heft. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 And this, opposed? And just for the record, this for the record, this is not a new position. This was approved last meeting. It just has clarification to change it from 15% to a 6.7% increase.
Right, because the motion incorrectly
was made.
Listed 15% when it should have been 6.7%.
Well, that's okay, not completely correct, but anyway. Item D is Division Direct. Did you have concern on that?
Sorry, what was the motion?
Motion was to accept the recommendation to change from 15% to 6.75%. Or 6.7%.
The action in item numbers, in our last BC meeting, we made the motion to approve the recommendation, but the rate of increase should have been 6.7%, but we incorrectly incorrectly said 15% when it should have been 6.7%, so we're trying to correct that today.
So the motion on the floor, the motion that was approved was?
To reconsider the action of May 15th.
Recommendation that was brought forward to us.
No, the actual motion that you just acted upon was?
It's as stated on the agenda, to reconsider the BC 5-15-14 action, so that the action, so that the action that gets adopted is to approve that recommendation at a 6.7% increase, not 15.
Oh, so you're talking procedurally, just
procedurally. We're just trying.
We reconsidered, so it's up for reconsideration. So we'd have to actually vote again.
Oh, I see.
Okay. My concern with the action that the business committee took is reliance upon the motion that was made earlier. Geraldine has identified that this action has not yet been implemented. So under Robert's Rules of Order, technically, it wouldn't be prohibited. However, to more clearly reflect what is going on, you should take one of two motions: to either amend the minutes of the prior meeting, or to adopt a motion to reflect that the minutes of the prior meeting were incorrect and should reflect 6.7 instead of 15. Otherwise, you start to run afoul of Robert's Rules of Orders and that expectation and reliance on the actions taken. Mm. As I understand the statements made by the business committee today, all parties that were present understood the intent was the motion was incorrectly transcribed into the minutes and made.
It would be easier to amend the minutes.
It would be much easier to amend the minutes.
That was right away this morning. We should have did it.
Right. Can we do that now?
You can go back and amend the minutes at this point.
We just voted on that crazy motion.
My apologies. I didn't think that's what was happening.
So now how do we get that motion that we just voted on off the...
A motion to rescind the prior motion.
Okay, I'll make a motion to rescind the prior motion.
Support.
Motion by Patty Heft to rescind, supported by David Jordan. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
This is a good lesson.
Motion carries. The recommendation came to us from comprehensive health. So if it's just to fulfill the recommendation.
Yeah, these are just procedural things. She's walking us through logistics on the act of making motions.
Okay.
Now I'd like to make a motion to amend the minutes of May 15th, 2014 regular meeting minutes. To reflect comprehensive division additional duties compensation to be 6.7% to combine two positions into one for health and safety compliance specialist.
Second. It was clumsy, but...
It is. The only thing I would suggest is to accurately reflect or to correct the minutes to reflect.
Correct. Yes. Okay.
But, yes.
To correct instead of reflect.
Correct.
Yes. Okay, good.
Okay, we have a motion by David Jordan to accurately reflect the 15% change to 6.7%. Yes. Regarding the Comprehensive Health Division request. Mm-hmm. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Item D is Development Division to approve the extension of Engineering Department Development Project Manager for an additional 90 days.
Support.
Second.
A motion by David Jordan, supported by Patty Heft. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item E is Environmental Health and Safety Division to approve the reassignment of the Wetland Program Coordinator to Project Management.
Motion to approve.
Support.
Motion by Patty F. to approve the request, supported by David Jordan. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, Melinda Danforth. Motion carries.
A motion to go into executive session to take up two items.
Support.
Motion by Patty Heft to go into executive, supported by David Jordan. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All those rolling.
Come back into. And video's on?
Yep.
Okay.
We're ready. We have a motion to come out of executive?
I'll make a motion to come out of executive session at 12:33 p.m.
Motion by Patty Heft. Need support?
Support.
Supported by Melinda Danforth. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. We're out of executive into open. Item one is regarding gaming hiring.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to approve the request from gaming to extend the interim players club manager until November 31st, 2014.
We have a motion by Patty Heft as stated regarding gaming hiring.
Support.
Supported by David Jordan. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item two is the management level at printing.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to move the printing business unit under the internal services, into the internal services division, and that the internal services division director immediately work with the employees to communicate the change.
Here we have a motion by Patty Heft as stated. Need support? Second. Supported by Brandon Stevens. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
One opposition, David Jordan. Abstentions? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to adjourn.
Support.
A motion by Patty Heft to adjourn. Time is 12:37. Supported. Supported by David Jordan. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.